This is episode number 72 of the Interactive Distractions podcast for the week of April 13th, 2009. Coming up on today's show, this week's distractions, March in review, Jeff's got news for us. After the break, we come back and talk about community games and whether or not they are a viable source of entertainment. After that, we have new releases, listener email, and the Running with Scissors question of the week. Hello and welcome to Interactive Distractions, episode number 72.
Hey.
My name is Chris Ferriccio, and I am here with Jason A. Stryker.
Hello, people.
And Jeff Chorney.
Word ups.
And as always, we are going to be talking about games this week. So before we do that, Jason, how are you doing?
I'm doing pretty well, for the most part. Tired as usual. Lots of projects. I have a new project. I don't know if I can announce it yet. I can give hints, though. But it has to do with Street Fighter.
Wait, you're doing a project with Street Fighter?
No way.
Normally I've got all kinds of kooky shit going on with, like, you know, I've got, like, another video podcast that I'm working on with, like, comic books and gay people. But, you know, this one's actually Street Fighter related. I'm so excited. It's now, like, official.
Are you allowed? I was going to say, so you can officially say something now.
I think so.
I'm excited for it.
I've told a few people, but no, I'm going to be working with Gutax on. He just had that bar fights out in California. Top name players, you know, playing inside of a bar, drew a huge crowd. It was a major, major success.
Cool.
And I'm going to edit the video and put the DVD together.
Nice, nice.
That is freaking rad.
I'm gonna rock this thing.
Well,
nice. Good.
And if you get in touch with Gutax and he says he doesn't want you to announce it, we'll be cutting this part out.
All right.
But we're still excited either way.
What else is going on?
That's it. Who cares about anything else besides Street Fighter?
He's had wet boxers ever since he found out. He's been changing a lot.
It's been kind of going on. I mean, we've been going back and forth with it for a number of weeks, actually. And, if we just finalized things just the other day. So
cool.
Looking good.
Good stuff, man. Congratulations.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Jeff, how are you, man?
Huge. I'm good, man. It's Thursday, 3-day-long weekend. Don't have too much. We might actually pick up a kitten this weekend. So that's kind of scary but exciting. Yeah, Tanya really wants a kitten.
Okay.
And an animal. And I'm an animal person, too. They're cool. But
they're very tasty.
Yeah. Great with barbecue sauce. A little bit of Chipotle. I'm
telling you, we should do that. Ride 'em and dine 'em.
Ride them and dine them.
For the horses? Yeah. Down in Texas, that would go over well.
Oh, wow. We're getting into inside joke territory now.
Yeah. Other than that, man, it's been all right. The weather is really fucked up. It was literally snowing 2 days ago or like a day ago.
Yeah.
And today it's like plus 10. You can go outside and like just wear like a, you know, a light sweater and some jeans and literally like 24 hours apart. I'm like, this is so messed up. It's the end of the world.
We had the same shit in Georgia.
Yeah, we did.
No kidding.
Yeah, we did.
You know, one day over the weekend, it was like 70 degrees or something like that. And then it's snowing.
Yeah. Yep.
What the fuck is going
on? That was
on?
What? That was Tuesday?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, Tuesday we had snow flurries. Yesterday, it was in the 60s.
Yeah, that's
And then
that's
today, it's in like the mid-70s. It's, I don't know. I changed my status on Facebook. I said, I now realize that Georgia has three seasons, summer, winter, and what the fuck?
Yeah.
Yep. That's
kind of the way it works.
Here in Torontonian land.
Oh. Torontonian land.
Ship.
Yo. That's about it. That's been up this week anyway.
Cool. So
what about
cool.
you, Chris? What's it like to be married?
It's exactly...
I know you got married last week or a couple weeks ago, but...
Yeah, it's married life
still
is the
new.
Same as it was before.
You still love saying my wife...
It's kind of weird saying that.
Well, you have in-laws now and stuff, too.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. It's like today I wrote an email to Jason because he was asking me what I was doing on Saturday. And I was like, well, we're doing Easter Sunday with my family. So we're spending Saturday with the in-laws. And I'm like, that was really weird that I said that.
The in-laws.
But just really busy at work and, just trying to get gaming in wherever I can at this point. So,
cool.
I hear you, brother.
Yep.
So that gaming thing.
Yeah. Speaking of gaming.
Oh boy.
Jason, where I was going.
Yeah,
what? I can take a wild guess what Jason is playing.
How's Street Fighter this week?
Hey, Street Fighter 4 has been awesome. Very, very good, actually.
All right, cool. Jeff was distracting you.
No, there's more. There's more, for real. Can I talk about my battle points real quick?
Go for it. What the hell?
So I broke 3,000, right? Big hoopla. Wow. That's friggin' awesome. I've been maining Balrog and broke 3,000. And then I had like three really bad matches against three really bad players.
Oh, no.
And you lose anywhere from like 100 to like 150 points for each of those. Wow. So I ended up losing 400 points straight.
Holy shit.
In
How
like
come
three
you can't
matches.
Have those matches against me, dude?
I don't fucking know. But one of them was lag. I know that much. And then the other two were just like stupid mistakes because I was pissed off. But after that, I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to start playing with Fuerte online. Mm-hmm. So I've been going probably about 60-70% with him. He is so much fun to play. I love him.
Yeah. I like your Fuerte. He's fun to watch. Even when you're kicking my ass with him, like, it's entertaining.
He's one of those players who... character.
Yeah, like his supers, like, I mean, a lot of players like use like Ryu and Ken, whatever. And the good players don't kick out like Shoryukens and Fireballs like 100% of the time. Whereas like a Fuerte player, his, to me, what I like, anyway, observing you, Jason, is like his supers are a huge deal to his game. So it's like just changing up the supers here and there. And then I was like, wow, I'm getting my ass kicked, but it's really cool to watch.
Yeah. His ultra in particular does just a shit ton of damage. And that's saved my ass many, many occasions because it's great. As an anti-air, and it's great as a whiff punisher, and you know, you can bait. I love playing scrubs that just, you know, try and uppercut, you know. So I'm like,
yeah,
I'll just go ahead and I'll just wait and I'll alter you. So, but yeah, he's fun. I have played some other games. I played some community games.
Before we go to any other games, because I'll talk about it now before I talk about it when it's my turn to go do distractions.
All right.
You just broke 3,000. I just broke 2,000.
Yeah.
I was so happy. I was so proud of myself because I remember when I was like at 1,500. I'm like, this is impossible. It's not going to happen. And I went to get some guy. Well, I got up to about 220-something, 2,023. Then I was like, I took a picture. I'm like, okay, I'll play one more match, see what happens. And I played against this dude who picked Ryu as well. I picked Ryu. And I smoked him. And I was like, okay, well, he's probably a lower level character because like that was just embarrassing. And then it came up with the battle points, and he had over 4,000.
Wow.
And I was like, holy crap, it jumped my thing up like a couple hundred points. And I was like, this is awesome. Took a picture, of course, sent it to everyone. I'm like, yeah, woo, go me.
Yeah, I got that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I got that too.
But I was so proud. I was like, that's freaking awesome. Actually, I think it was like, he was like the high 3,000. I think it was like 3,900 or something like that. But my theory is he's either just learning a new character or he's like letting his girlfriend play or something like that.
Shit. That almost happened the other night. We had Chris and John, Chief, came over. And Street Fight Club type impromptu. And then Lisa was on the second TV, and she was playing Sakura, right? And she got started in training mode, so she hopped into arcade mode. And then all of a sudden, she's like, honey, 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 honey.
Oh, it's right.
Because, the one of the ranked matches came up, and I'm like, oh, shit. And I quick ran in there. And
I got mad at Tawn yesterday. She's like, I want to play somebody. I want to play somebody. And I'm like, well, you have to play arcade mode. You have to play arcade mode. So she goes to start playing. I'm like, wait, no, let me stop. Let me stop. She's like, what? I'm like, I gotta turn it off, like, ranked matches. And then I'm like, she's like, well, what do you mean? I'm like, well, because my record, my battle points. She's like, are you serious? I'm like, yeah. She's like, it's one match. I'm like, yeah, but that
could be a lot of points. And
that could be anywhere from
1
to, like,
200
points.
Again.
Yeah. Exactly.
Oh, it's so retarded. You can lose 150 points in one match, and then, you know, your next five matches are each worth 1 point.
Exactly.
And they were probably tougher than the last guy. It's just retarded. But
my next goal, I'm aiming for 3,000. I think I'm at 2,500 right now. I'm aiming for it. Yeah. So by that time, Jason, you better be like 4,000.
Well, judging by the VG Evo peeps, like 3,000 is, you know, pretty much the top.
Yeah,
around where, like, you know, I'm at, and like,
well, I know both you and
stuff,
Blue have like 3,000,
like,
something,
yeah, Silent, right? And stuff, and we're all in that like 25 to 3,000 range. So that's it's not a lofty goal. You can easily get there, I think.
I still have yet to play a ranked match.
What the hell? Some fucking balls.
I was gonna play this morning, and I was doing some practice mode.
Yeah,
and I was like, all right, well, I've done practice mode for enough time. I want to, you know, start doing some ranked matches and actually see if I can make some progress here. And then I got an invite from Repeat, and I'm like, oh, okay, I'll fight Repeat instead.
Nice.
Yeah.
And
what time were you up when Repeat was on there?
It was about 7 o'clock this morning.
Oh, okay.
Chris is an early riser.
Yeah, I get to work. I'm at work by 8, and tomorrow I need to be at work earlier than that. So,
are you playing player matches online?
Just versus friends and stuff. Yeah.
Okay, because even do some player matches, like, because at least that way you can keep playing them. Because I think that's the best way to learn. Because when I play people online, they've ranked. It sucks. Cause, like, I'll know I'm making mistakes. I'll know how to adjust my game. They'll beat me. I'm like, oh, I just want to wish there was a rematch button. Just hit rematch. Let's do it again. Because I was playing last night and I played a Guile. And he beat me in 3 rounds, but pretty bad the third. I'm like, hey, I think I can take this guy. If we had a rematch, like, no big deal. Played another couple more, and then all of a sudden he came up again, just randomly. And I was like, all right, cool. I get to have revenge. And it was his Guile against my Ryu again, and I beat him. I was like, yay. Cool.
Yeah, I love the regular player match stuff because you can get in some really good games. Like, every once in a while, you'll find something that is just like, there's just no way. This isn't even fun. But then, you know, every once in a while, you'll find someone that, you know, is about your same skill level, you know? And then you can you can experiment, and you can try other characters and just have a good time with it. And,
exactly.
Yeah. And that's why I like doing player matches more than anything, is because I don't feel like I have to win. It's like I can sit there and I can say, oh, well, I know I need to work on this, and I can talk to the other person, that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. But, man, cool. One of my matches last week was BB Ryuku, and he's in Japan. And when we played, our connection was like one single red bar. And I'm like, oh, shit.
He's in Japan.
And I'm talking to him, and I'm like, I don't know if this is going to work, man. I guess we'll give it a shot and see what happens. And we didn't have any problem. We had, like, one issue with like, a tiny bit of lag. Didn't have any effect on our matches or anything. Repeat, I played this morning, and same deal. One little red bar.
It was fine.
And nothing worked. Holy crap.
Yeah, that indicator isn't worth anything.
It was super input lag. I mean, we would both be in the air, and I would hit my medium kick, and he would hit the ground, and then my medium kick would come out.
Yep.
That's how bad the input lag was. So, I mean, it's... And he told me he's not part of the league, and after what we, you know, after playing him, it's probably better off, because I don't know if he would ever get good connect matches with anybody. I don't know if he would connect with anybody well. I mean, the only person he'd probably connect well would be BB.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
And, that would be the only match that he got that would be good, so. But yeah, we still had fun, you know, we were joking around and, you know, played a few different, like, 4 or 5 matches and... Just had fun with the lag. I was like, oh, did you see that kick that came out like after you hit the ground? It was great.
Nice. All right, well, this is when people start cursing us out for talking about Street Fighter again.
Stop talking about Street Fighter.
Yeah, Jason, what sorry, else are you guys. Playing? Sorry. I wasn't going to talk that much about Street Fighter, but it kind of exploded. It has that explosive quality. Anyway, I played some community games, you know, to prepare for our feature tonight. I guess I'll talk about those a little bit later. But
cool.
Also, finally, I'm so happy about this. I popped in Resident Evil 5, finally took it out of its, GameFly envelope, and I really, really dig it. I've played it about an hour. I'm really, really impressed with the visuals.
It's gorgeous.
And the atmosphere.
What'd you get it on?
Everything. What's that?
What'd you get it on?
360.
Nice.
Just for the hell of it, just because I don't play enough on my 360.
Just for shits and giggles.
Yeah, pretty much. But yeah, great.
Well,
visuals.
It's pretty much universally across the board. It's supposed to look better on 360. So.
Yeah.
I heard that. But I mean, it's so minute. I mean, and I'm playing it on.
No,
kind
it's
of a
pretty
shitty
big
TV.
With it.
Really?
Download the demo for the PS3 version. You'll see.
Well, see, that's the thing. I've heard that the demo was an older build for the PS3. So it's one of those things where it's like I'd like to see the retail versions compared side to side.
The easiest way to dispel any of that, Chris, honestly, is go take any game you have retail, go play the demo, because they always say it's easy build. They always look exactly the same.
Yeah. Well.
There's hardly any.
I'm not arguing with the fact that the 360 one looked better. I mean,
no. I'm just tired of the developers being like, well, you know, it's an early build, whatever. I'm like, yeah, we know it's an early build, fix the bugs and stuff. But visually, there's hardly ever anything changed, like, at all.
Yeah.
Usually. Because at that point, they're like, fuck, we've gone this far. Can't change all that now.
Well, if I was going to buy it, I'd be buying it on 360 because of that difference. But, yeah.
Meh.
Eventually, well, anyway, I like the visuals of it, and Sheva makes my nether regions tingle.
Nice. How far are you?
It's not far. Like, I don't think I've passed, like, first chapter or act or anything like that. Like, I just got past the part where the demo starts. Do you remember that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I just got into that area, and yeah. So not far at all, but still really digging it. It's actually
you're not having a problem not moving and shooting and...
I got over that real quick in the demo. Like, I realized that the controls are going to be shit, and yes, it's a strike against it, and it's a hindrance, and it's kind of an annoyance, but I think there's enough strong points about that game to carry it through.
Yeah, probably have to agree, even though I haven't picked it up yet, but whatever.
It's actually making me want to play it, like, over Street Fighter right now, if that's saying anything.
Wow.
That's saying anything.
I'm like, shit, this is good.
That's like Jason, if you bust out, like, you know what? I'm going to actually try filleting a man in men, you know, instead of being married to a woman.
It's like, okay, it's not quite like that.
Well, it's not quite the same.
Unless I enjoy filleting the man, which I haven't yet. I mean, you know.
No, but, you know, considering anyway.
It's been shitty each time I do it. I mean,
this whole gag reflex thing, got to get over that.
Oh, you know, God.
It's like chalk, really.
God. Moving on. Moving on.
Any other game, shit. Sheva, hot, nether regions, tingle. Cool. All right.
Sheva is fucking hot to the bone, yo. I seriously, like, I look at her and I'm like, she, like, smiled or something, and I'm like, whoa.
Hot to the bone.
Hi there. What is up?
How are you doing?
Yeah. All right, let's move on.
Good. Anything else?
No. Crystal Defenders. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Final Fantasy Tower Defense Force shit that was
ported
over
Defense Force thing,
from like mobile phones and like the iPhone and stuff.
Oh,
and
you downloaded that?
I actually downloaded it and I actually like it. Believe it or not.
Really?
Believe it or not. Yeah, I didn't think much of it. I had some points on, you know, I had some space points.
Well, you know what's
over.
Next on the list.
What's that?
You know what's next on the list after that, then.
What's that?
Filleting men.
I've already been down that road, Jeff. Are you sorry you missed out during my experimentation?
I am, actually.
Okay.
Very, very. Shit.
Sorry, lover. All
right, so,
anyway, how's
why don't you serenade me with some, it's 3 a.m., I must be lonely. That might do it. All right, so Crystal Defenders is based off the Final Fantasy Tactics, like, Game Boy Advance universe, you know, with all the wacky rabbit characters and the weird Moo Cow things. And in traditional, like, tower defense, you know, you set up your troops or your units, and they each have their own individual abilities, whether it be melee or magic or missile attacks or anything.
Does it depend on what color their spiky hair is?
Yeah, actually. And, you know, you actually get a bonus for additional midriff showing, so.
Nice.
That's the wrong Final Fantasy series. I'm sorry, but no, there's a ton of different classes, which makes it very, very interesting. And I don't know. I didn't think that I'd really like it, and it looks kind of shitty. Probably because, you know, it's a port from like a handheld device or whatever. But I found myself playing it for like 2-3 hours, and I'm like, shit.
Really?
I'm addicted.
Wow. You could have been working on your Fierté.
I could have been, and actually, this has been over the course of like probably 2 weeks. I just haven't mentioned it. Okay. So that's my secret. Mm. Crystal Defender. Okay.
It's okay. Everyone's got their guilty pleasures, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
I like Bon Jovi, you play Crystal Defenders, whatever.
Who doesn't really like Bon Jovi? Are you really feeling guilty about that?
No, not at all, actually. Okay. All right. I'm just living on a prayer, you know what I'm saying?
Oh, wow. Next!
You remember Tommy? I hear he's working on the docks.
But union's been on strike.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Oh, we got a new job? Oh, we used to work on the docks. Gotcha.
Yeah, that's right.
I can digress further and
Jeff.
Drive this
No,
show
no, we're
into
good.
Nothing.
We're good. Anything
Jeff.
Else I'm playing?
Let's move on.
People are getting so pissed. Is it my turn? Yes. Besides a crap ton of Street Fighter. Dabbled in a little bit of Hawk some more. It's starting to get that repetitive feeling to me even more now, but the
kinda
game
like
does look good,
in,
so
right. Good look. It's bobbing up and down, right?
Exactly. You gotta do the inverted turns, you know. It's kind of hard. Different angles. You gotta intercept. I don't know. I'm not a, whatever. Gotta go through the back door and.
What the hell's wrong with you guys tonight?
That's what happens when I start drinking before we record.
Oh my goodness!
Not during. It's like picking up the podcast at the very end, but it's at the beginning. Give me an hour.
Jeez.
It's still no more dirty really making... than Sig's new promo ad.
Oh, my goodness.
I'll say that.
The one that we're going to play on the break.
Yep.
Be on the lookout.
Shit, what was I going to say? Yeah, so the only thing that's really keeping me going now is I think the game is really pretty, so I like to play the different locales and stuff like that, and it's just kind of cool to fly around over them, even though I'm like doing the same thing I've done in every other mission. I still play it every once in a while to take a break from the other stuff. But another game I picked up, pardon me, actually just yesterday was Chronicles of Riddick, Attack on Dark Athena.
Cool.
Oh, cool.
And this is like, okay, I haven't touched Dark Athena yet. I've read a lot of the reviews on it, and a lot of them say it kind of lingers in Escape from Butcher Bay's shadow. If you have not played Escape from Butcher Bay on the original Xbox or on PC, buy this game, because that is seriously one of the best games I think ever made. It is freaking awesome. It's a first-person shooter at heart, but it's really not. It's like a first-person adventure game, more or less, because there's some platforming, a lot of hand-to-hand combat, like melee stuff, a lot of stealth. Guns really play a small role. In Butcher Bay, it's pretty prominent at the beginning. You're using guns a lot, and then it kind of strays away from that. Whereas one of the big complaints about Dark Athena and reviewers that they say it's pretty much after about the halfway point, it's all based on guns, so it becomes kind of like a generic shooter. But they did a really good job with upgrading the graphics. It looks pretty damn good. They still have a little bit of like Barbie doll and Ken doll hair styles going on, where it kind of looks plastic. A little bit of aliasing going on here or there, but they've upgraded a lot in regards to lighting and stuff like that. Voice acting is great, it's surprisingly, considering it's got people like Exhibit, Vin Diesel. Is that other dude? Who played Hellboy? That guy's in the game. Why am I going blank?
Oh, shit.
I don't remember
the guy who plays Hellboy.
There are 10,000 people screaming this guy's name right now.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember idiots. Ron Perlman.
Ron Perlman, yes. John DiMaggio. There's like a bunch of pretty big name actors in there, and it's all voice acted really well. It's very immersive. I remember playing this on Xbox. Like, this game is freaking cool. Like, it has one of my favorite intros to a game ever. It's not really spoiling anything, but you play through kind of like a dream sequence where you're escaping, but then it actually brings you back to reality. You're just getting to the prison, and then it's walking you through the prison. A la like Half-Life and Half-Life 2, how you go through, like, you're on the subway or whatever, you're being walked to your cell, and you can move the camera around freely while the credits are going, and you have, like, cool. The guards yelling stuff at you, like, what your prison, what your number is, and what cell you're going to be in. It's really, really cool. And the first part of the game, you're trying to, like, get information on who's, like, the head honcho of the prison, and you end up, like, taking them out and stuff. It's really cool. If you've never played Escape from Butcher Bay, I'd say, like, just from... definitely give it a buy, because I think it's a great game.
Okay.
If you have played Butcher Bay, yeah, like, you guys seriously have to. If you guys haven't played it, at least, okay, rent it, because you guys aren't huge first-person shooter fans, but it's really not a first-person shooter. As much as it kind of looks that way based on, like, ads and stuff like that, it's really not. At least Butcher Bay isn't. Attack on Dark Athena might be more first-person shooter-based, but, okay. Yeah. And considering you're getting two games for the price of one, and they have a new multiplayer mode, which I have not tried yet. I just got it yesterday. But apparently the pitch black mode is actually really awesome, where one character is Riddick, and you can see in the dark, while the other characters can't see in the dark. It's pitch black. All you have is your flashlight and your guns. Whoever kills Riddick then becomes Riddick. And Riddick can only attack with like melee attacks and stuff like that, and stealth attacks. Mm. So apparently it's supposed to be really, really cool. I'm going to give that a try in the weekend. But I'm liking it. I'm going through Butcher Bay first, then I go to Dark Athena, and just playing through it. I'm like, wow, I forgot how good this game is. I'm like, this is pretty cool. Good break from the running gun first and shooters, that's for sure.
Cool.
Yeah.
I will add it to the game flies.
You should do that shit. It's pretty decent.
Alright.
What else have I been playing? Actually, to tell you the truth, that is it. Besides a little bit of Peggle here and there, I did download the dishwasher demo.
Yes.
I guess, trial.
Tell me, what do you think?
I really do like it. Like, in terms of the demo, I think it's really, really good. It's really solid. And with Xbox Live games, I hate to just buy them on impulse. And I've read some reviews, and they all basically say the same thing. It's good for about, like, 10, 15 minutes, and it gets ridiculously repetitive and so forth. I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I should, like... Considering the problem is it's being compared to a bunch of Xbox Live games like Castle Crashers and such, which I don't think is really fair.
Yeah, it's not,
because we'll talk about it more later, but it started off as an XNA game that just blew everyone's mind. I was like, this is awesome, and Microsoft ended up picking up, put into a, gave the guy a budget, and they turned it into a huge Xbox Live release. And mm-hmm. it really is good. Like it plays like a 2D Devil May Cry God of War type game, and it's really gory, really cool combos and stuff, but apparently it just gets really repetitive, and that's kind of what's a little bit shying me away from pulling the trigger on that one, but we'll see. Other than that, though, that's pretty much been my week.
Cool.
What about you, Chris?
We talked about Street Fighter already, so we're done with that.
We can talk about it.
Big no, surprise. Played a lot
SF.interactivedistractions.com. Street Fighter Scrub League.
That's right.
A lot of Phantasy Star as well. Big surprise there. Also got to play a little bit of Burn Zombie Burn.
Yes.
Which cool. Jason talked a little bit about last week.
Very little.
Yeah. I really like it. You know, it's I can see where you're coming from, Jason, when you said that you wanted it to be a twin stick shooter like. And I said Crash TV last week. I apologize. It's Smash TV.
Yeah. We knew what you meant.
Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't even realize you said that. That's.
I didn't realize I said it that way too until I listened to the show again. I was like, oh, I fucked that up. Okay. But yeah, it's got like, you know, you got a primary and a secondary weapon, and I think your secondary weapon is always a flamethrower. I'm not sure. I've only played it the one time so far, but and then there's a you can strafe. And you can lock on. And if you hold down the lock on button, it'll basically lock on to whatever zombie's closest to you. So he'll. It's like if you kill the zombie that's closest to you, he'll move the gun to the next one that's closest to him. And it's pretty easy that way. There's a lot of different weapons. I mean, I picked up a chainsaw, I picked up a Gatling gun, I picked up a shotgun, baseball bat, you know, lots of different options. And. Yeah, I thought it was really fun.
Your typical zombie killing utensils.
Yeah, your typical zombie killing arsenal.
And, did you get a lawnmower like in Dead Alive?
No.
The goriest movie of all time.
What's it called? Dead Alive?
Dead Alive, yeah.
I think I saw that. What's on the cover for that?
some dude, and he's like ripping open his mouth, and there's like a zombie coming through or something like that.
I think I've seen... name sounds really familiar.
There's been a couple different names. I think Brain Damage... I forget the rest of them, but a couple different covers too. All the little rat monkeys got raped, and yeah, Custard with ears in it, and oh, I kick ass for the Lord. Anybody who's seen the movie knows exactly what I'm talking about. But
all right,
well, yeah, it's you know, it's fun. I'll go back to it. I don't really have much to say about it right now because I've only played it for literally like 15 minutes. You know, I played like the first. Like the woods, that first woods area that you get thrown into at the beginning, and that was pretty much it. It was a really short session, but
it's more than I did.
it interested me enough that I am going to go back to it. So
cool,
it was fun, and that's it. It was mostly Street Fighter and Fantasy Star this week, so not a lot.
Cool.
What's new coming out? We need to get something else in here. We tried this week. We did all right.
Coming out this week.
It's kind of a little slow.
Yeah,
I think maybe they'll hit some of my backlog. I actually downloaded Burnout, Paradise on PS3, and I played it for a little bit. And
you mentioned
we need to get two things I wanted to mention, actually. I remember Tondog and someone else was saying they would get in on a Burnout Paradise night, maybe on PS3, get some people together that are relatively new and just... Because I've done, like, nothing. So just kind of dick around in that city and just see what's going on. Also, if any of you out there has Hawks, let me know. Send me a message. Send me a PM on VG Evo or send me a message through Xbox Live. Gamer tag is Goffy, G-O-F-F-E-Y. I have not yet tried this out multiplayer, and I really want to try out co-op mode. Pretty much no one on my friends list has the game right now. And I don't want to play with randoms in co-op mode, because I heard that a lot of people do, like, they hoard the kills and stuff like that, and they don't really work cooperatively. So if you want to give that a shot, let me know. That'd be really cool. Just kind of get a better scope on how the multiplayer is.
Cool.
But yeah, that's it.
All right. Well, we...
Pimp My Ride.
We got called out this week, guys.
What?
We got called out.
Yeah. I'll fucking cut out. How did
we get called out?
We got called out by Big Red SC, which...
Oh, shit.
About missing our month in review segment last week.
We knew all about that.
We did, actually.
Shows what you know.
Funny part is, actually, remember we talked about it, actually, before we recorded. We're like, remember we have to do this, and we just totally forgot.
Yeah, we just got into the conversation about Street Fighter, and that was all there was.
Yes, exactly.
So let's go through it. March in review. What do we got?
March
Jeff,
in review.
Why don't you start?
Oh, you want me to start? We seriously have to find out. We have to have another thing. If we should have like maybe a reader contest, like what we can have for the ultimate most distracting game ever. Because honestly, Street Fighter's really got to have that title. I know we did that last week and we all gave it a terrible distraction, or last month,
or like day job distraction or something like that.
Yeah, something like ridiculously distracting, because it was I play that the most. But Halo Wars, that was one of the games I was playing through a little bit of March. I'd have to probably give that a timeout. What the hell's our scale?
Oh, we're not cutting this.
Okay, we got terrible distraction, minor
terrible
distraction,
major distraction, minor distraction,
minor distraction,
and day job.
And then daytime job, whatever.
Daytime job.
Daytime job. I'm going to give that a minor distraction. It had my hook for a bit. I was hooked into it, and then I just kind of fell away from it and had no desire really to go back. It might be just me and the RTS thing. I don't like playing them online just because I suck so bad at them. Campaign, besides looking at the pretty CG cinemas, which are awesome, I was kind of like, yeah, I don't really feel the need to kind of go through. But as an RTS and console, I thought it was pretty decent, controlled all right. Minor distraction for that one there. When did I pick up? I might as well go with Hawks, too. Hawks, I'd probably say same thing. Minor distraction if you want something different. If you want to get away from the first-person shooters and the action-adventure games. It's a good rental, good minor, like to keep your attention for a little bit. Campaign gets really repetitive. I can't really judge the entire game until I play multiplayer, but based on what I've played, minor distraction. I play it every once in a while. Nothing that's keeping me away from the big games anyway. And I remember I was going to say I was saving Killzone 2.
Killzone.
For that one. And this is the thing. This one I'm really freaking torn, because the game is great. Great campaign, great multiplayer. For me, I think I played this game in a wrong time, because I was kind of sick of first-person shooters. As much as I loved Killzone, this is where I'm kind of like going to go against not my beliefs, what I should say versus what I'm really feeling. The game's, I'd say, a major distraction. But for me, in the month of March, because of Street Fighter, because we're getting the whole league off its feet and everything, the scrub sport, I was playing that a lot more. I was kind of sick of first-person shooters. Myself, personally, giving it a minor distraction, just because after I beat the campaign and played for about 2 weeks multiplayer, I have not turned it on since. But the sole cause for that is Street Fighter, and I'm not going to lie about it, and because I played way too many first-person shooters up to that point. So, to everyone else out there, major distraction. It is a great first-person shooter on PS3. It can rival. It's like up there with the best of them. Great game. Pick it up. But for me, in the month of March, after the initial 2 weeks it was out, didn't really go back to it, but I plan to eventually. And yeah, that was basically it that I was playing in March. And Peggle, major distraction. Sorry. <that's, laughs> as dumb as that sounds, yeah, I got Tanya hooked on it. It's, you know, it's one of those games you put in, like, what do I want to play tonight? Throw on Peggle, an hour goes by, you're like, what the hell is wrong with me? Yeah. And then, yeah.
it's easy to just start playing it and get lost. It really is.
Exactly.
Yeah. Cool. Jason, go for it.
Oh, for Christ's sake. I mean, come on.
Okay, Street Fighter, terrible distraction. Continue. I mean,
that's it. I mean, that's all that I'm really playing. It's the stuff that I already mentioned tonight. I see potential in a lot of games. I guess I could say that, but... Street Fighter has been my day job and my night school, and also my second part-time job as well. So seriously, I've played almost nothing but. I mean, you know that. You listen to the casts.
Yeah.
Well, it shows.
Yeah. I don't know what to say. Let's just move on.
All right,
Chris.
Because people are rolling their eyes right now.
So everyone, we're gonna be doing a Finding a Third contest coming up soon.
I've already tried to get a leave of absence out of Chris, and he's like, "No, you're not getting off."
No,
really.
I can't get out of there that easy.
Not until you go pro.
All right, so Killzone. I'm gonna kind of agree with Jeff, but I'm gonna give it a major distraction all around. Just because.
Dude, I've never seen you playing it once.
I've played it.
Called out.
No, you haven't.
Yes, I have.
It's at 7 a.m. when we're just going to bed.
No, so of course, yeah, sorry.
The problem with the fact that with calling anything a major distraction right now is that Phantasy Star is a terrible distraction, and I don't stop playing.
Yeah, that's true.
I have put like 80-something hours into a fucking PSP game.
Oh my god! This is crazy foreshadowing people, and I'm not going to say it, but for what question of the week next week, because this all is relative, and I think it's going to be
a decent discussion. Really is
anyway,
relative.
Go ahead, Chris.
It definitely is relative. But, I mean, it really, even for those that haven't played, that don't play a lot of first-person shooters, like, I know that our friend John, he doesn't like first-person shooters at all. And he got into the Killzone multiplayer, and he just got hooked. I mean, that's all he was playing. So, I mean, there's definitely room out there for people to play this, and it is definitely a, you know, it's at least a major distraction for me.
It came out at a bad month for all of us. Street Fighter was for me, Jason and I, and then you got Phantasy Star Portable, and that's like, holy crap, our your favorite game, me and Jason's favorite game series, and then it's just like,
Killzone is like, we understand that it's a really good fucking game, but we've got this, you know.
Exactly.
And especially with the last couple weeks, with the last few weeks in general. I mean, it's like I was on my honeymoon, and what was I doing? I was playing Phantasy Star, you know. And as soon as I got back, I was playing Phantasy Star, and I was playing.
Wrong, dude.
Wow. I know.
When
you
never
had down.
I'm not even going to go down that road because everybody else knows what I'm talking about. when I got back, it was when I wasn't playing Phantasy Star, I was playing Street Fighter. So because I didn't want to be embarrassed in the league that we're fucking hosting. And so far, it's a little too late for that. But Street Fighter is major distraction, which is obvious. It's not terrible distraction for me because I've got Phantasy Star. But there you go.
That's good. Good. Anything else you were playing last week, Jay?
That's all I can remember playing right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? I have one more, actually. I have Retro Games Challenge.
Oh,
which,
right.
I'm also going to call a major distraction in terms of when you're on-the-go gaming, because that game is built for on-the-go gaming. It's a great DS game where every time I have my DS on me and I'm going somewhere, and I usually never play my DS on like the subway or commuting to work. It's just like I have this thing where I just can't do it. I can play them at work, like on the crapper or whatever, but that game actually made me bust out on the subway going to work, and I'm like, hey, I gotta do this one more challenge. I gotta do this challenge, get on the next challenge.
How long are the challenges?
They can be anywhere, like from like 30 seconds to like a minute and a half. Like, it really depends, but they're really short, and it saves your game after I think every three or something like that you do. But they're really short, and they're relatively not easy to do, but you know what you're doing. And then it's always because of that hook on you where it's like, I want to open up the next game. And it's just crazy because they're 8-bit games that you wouldn't play on your NES or your SMS. And it's pretty damn cool.
Cool.
Yeah,
I've actually decided that I'm going to go out and buy that, I think.
Thanks a lot, Pete.
And, you know, I've been catching up on a lot of podcasts lately, and I was listening to Drunken Gamers Radio, and they were all bragging about it. And I'm just like, all right, I'm just going to break down and buy this game. I've got Best Buy gift cards.
I've
got all that shit, so I'm just gonna go out and get it.
Yeah, so I got to thank Pete for that. Repeat for that, because I honestly can't find it anywhere here in Toronto. I don't know how it is there, but I have not seen it once in the store anywhere. Yeah.
Well, shit. I hope Best Buy has it then. Huh. Guess I'll find out tomorrow. That's when I was planning to go get it.
Cool.
Repeat spreading the gospel.
Yeah, that's right. The retro gospel. The portable gaming gospel.
He's our new release, retro Messiah. Gaming Nazi. So I mean,
that's right.
Yeah, or sire. That's probably a better better term.
Whatever. All right, Jeff.
All right.
Do some news.
What, we want news? Let's do some news.
Yeah.
Weekly news. That's intro music to news. There you go. Good job.
All right, I'm gonna go find a soundbite and overwrite you guys.
High production value for the
win. I know, right?
Wii motion controls, you know that stuff. You know the waggle, tennis
the
racket.
Waggle. Yeah,
you know the waggle. Chris apparently doesn't know his waggle because on his honeymoon he was playing PSP Portable. So, Wii Motion Plus. Nintendo announced that a while back, and we're like, "Where's Wii Motion Plus? I haven't seen Wii Motion Plus anything on it in a while." Is it coming out this year? Is it coming out next year? What's going on, Nintendo?
Does anybody really care?
Oh, that's right. They mentioned that. I totally forgot and or cared.
That's exactly. This could have been a really like this could have been a WGAS, but we're you know what? It's funny because there's probably someone's mom or aunt listening. Maybe
she's like, I need one-to-one control.
Exactly. My lightsaber needs to react with precision.
Look at that.
Well, it's gonna hit sometime. It was hit in Japan in June. It's gonna hit everywhere else in July. No exact date yet, and we all know it's gonna be packed in with the Wii Sports 2. Which is going to sell a fuck ton.
Yeah, it will. Yeah.
And I'm going to buy it. You're going to buy it. Everyone's going to buy it. Yeah, you're going to buy it, Jason.
I don't have a fucking Wii. I haven't
turned my Wii on in like a year.
Oh, that's right. You don't have a Wii. I'm sorry. Yeah, I still need to send you mine, actually.
There you go.
There you go.
Okay. How long has the Wii been out?
Two years?
2.5 years?
Mm-hmm. 2.5 years, huh? Yeah, it came out in November, like 2 years ago.
All right, so 2.5 years after the Wii comes out, the controller is actually going to be what it should have been at the start.
Yeah. Exactly.
Congratulations, Nintendo. Thanks. Let's go.
Way to go. But for all those people who care, and there's some of you out there, July, look for it in July in North America. Pardon me. For all you people that use, you know, well, all of you people, pretty much everyone on the face of the planet, who bitches about, like, Xbox Live points, marketplace points, where you go out and you buy your cards, or you top up your points on Xbox Live. You always have that weird number where everything... kind of, you know, you buy something for like 250 Microsoft points, but you can only buy increments of 500. So you're like, oh, wait, I have this. Or actually, it's not even like that. It's like 300
it's like 12,
points and you buy 500.
Or something like that.
Yeah, it's some weird numbers. You always have something left over to make you buy themes and gamer picks because you're like, oh, I have this here. I'm just might as well just use it. Solution came up. You guys let me know, actually, that Amazon is now selling Xbox Live Arcade stuff on their online store, which means you can buy subscriptions on there, you can buy, like, I think some forms of DLC and also Xbox Live Arcade games. So, I'm thinking, okay, why do I care when I can just download it? If I have an internet connection, I can just download it directly from my 360.
Right.
But thing is, Amazon charges real money, not space bucks.
Whoa.
That's right.
So, you go on there, you're like, listen, I don't want to spend this extra, like, $3 to get this extra points. I can go on there, this game costs $5. I'm going to put $5 on, boom, there you go. Download it. I haven't tried it. It doesn't even say whether or not you get like a code or something to download it, but I'm guessing that's how it works.
Yeah, I would think so.
It's not really showing in here. So they basically give you a code, you input it, boom, downloaded. $5, $5. 1-to-1 ratio. Like Nintendo Wii Motion Plus.
Just like that.
Oh, that would have been a great segue if I did that earlier.
Speaking of 1-to-1 ratio, you know what I mean.
Well, actually, since we're on the topic of Xbox Live Arcade, Sega isn't ruling out the idea of a virtual on arcade control stick.
Oh, awesome.
This was announced a while ago where Sega said they were releasing virtual on a version of it on Xbox Live Arcade, which would be awesome. That game was awesome. I know a lot of people out there have not played it. Multiplayer, it is great. It was like a much better version of Cyber Sled, if you guys ever played that by Namco.
Yeah. What?
The problem is, you ever play Cyber Sled?
Well, yeah. Okay, I guess I didn't. Anyway. Oh, wait, no, I was thinking of Cyber Speedway for the Saturn.
I'm sorry. Yeah, no, I'm thinking.
I'm with you. I'm with you.
All
right. Right here.
Cool.
You bro.
But I had this for Dreamcast. Not Dreamcast. Sorry, I had it for Sega Saturn, and it didn't really control well with the pad, and you could import, because it released it in North America, the dual stick arcade controls, which apparently like the bee's knees when it comes to controlling virtual on. I can't believe I just said that. But yeah, they're saying it's going to cost a bit to manufacture if they do, but if there's enough people interested, they are still considering it. So if you like Virtual On, if you'd like this controller, let Sega know somehow and get this out there. Personally, with dual analog sticks these days, I don't even know if it's needed, to tell you the truth, but needed. I don't say preferred.
You
needed.
Shut your Canadian mouth, Goffy. Love that. Provided it's not like $200.
Exactly. That's the thing. It was going to be some like Steel Battalion motherfucker where it's like, you know. But it probably won't be, but it's good to know anyway. And
indeed.
Yeah. Dual stick, dual analog.
Good to know.
No, speaking of dual analog, come on, you got to stick with me.
Okay.
PSP 2 rumors again, coming from every direction. You know, like Jenna Jameson in the porno, just like, wow, what's going on? News I'm talking about. I'm talking about news from PSP2. It's coming from every direction now. It started off with this, like, Dave Perry, like, oh, I know there's a PSP2 in development. Now it's, like, coming out of, like, every little nook and cranny. Everyone's like, yeah, there's PSP2. It's coming. Oh, yeah, no, it's out there.
I still don't really get the Jenna Jameson reference, but anyway.
Well, it comes from every direction.
She doesn't come from... Okay, I mean, I kind of sort of get it, but all right. Well, it's cool. I'm rolling with it.
We're a family podcast, yes. Jason. Sorry. I'm not going to go into detail.
Since when?
Fuck you. rumors, again, it's going to have a touch screen as well as dual analog sticks, which we've all been craving since its launch, basically. I mean, well, maybe not you guys. You guys don't like it for a shooter, so you can play your Base Star Portable with only one little nub, a button or two.
Not happily, damn you.
And it's rumored to be out before Christmas season. So that would pretty much leave
out when I see it.
Yeah, I don't know if it'll be out. Maybe announced by
Well, maybe announced. It's got to be announced at E3 if they even expect
Yeah, if
that.
They do, they're going to announce it at E3, which is June? Is it June?
But honestly, it is. Yeah, E3 is in June this year. I can see it happening, guys, because, I mean, iPhones are giving them a run for their money, and the DSi just came out, and they have to do something. So I would not be surprised if they've been working this. Like, you know what, E3, boom, here's our PSP2. It's all sleek and stylish. You got two analog sticks. You can touch the buttons. Oh, my God, it's still touch. And guess what? You can get it in November.
Awesome. I'm there. You know what they should be doing right now? Is, okay, the DSi just came out for $169.99, the same price point as the PSP. Drop the fucking price. If you drop it to $150, now you're going to go to the store and you say, oh, DS for $170 or PSP for $150.
Well, the problem with dropping the price, though, Chris, is you're not making as much profit.
Right? Of course not.
And the Wii right now is making a fucking killing, and we know that that system probably is like peanuts to manufacture.
It's just a GameCube.
Exactly. GameCube with Waggle. They sit out there making a shit ton of money. Just saying that the Wii production costs are actually down 45%.
Wow. So, are they dropping the price?
No. Are you kidding me?
Well, then, in reality...
Who gives a shit?
This just pisses me off more than anything. It's like Nintendo saying, hey, look, we're making money hand over fist, but we're not giving you any. We're not going to give you a break.
That's pretty much right.
Well, because you're all buying our shit anyway. You're that dumb. So
they're making basically...
Sorry, Wii annoys me. It's like...
But it's kind of like Mad World and...
It's got character.
It's got four games for us.
And overkill. Great. You know? I've bought systems for less, believe me.
Oh, shit!
What?
I totally forgot to mention that.
What?
I got to play Overkill this week.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. And
fucking awesome,
isn't it? It's super cheesy and over the
top.
Right.
It fits in with our... good cheesy then.
Yeah.
Well, ow.
Sorry. Like, fuck is every other word cheesy. It's bad. It's a B-movie, but it was fun. We had a lot of fun playing it. But yeah, anyway.
Yeah,
back to the Wii and their ridiculous.
They're making a lot of money, blah, blah, blah. These 45% drop. Yeah, whatever. Who gives a shit? And that's the news. There really wasn't much this week, guys, after GDC.
Thank you, Jeff.
I was reaching.
Yeah.
It took me forever to put this together. I was searching for hours. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, hours, right. I don't know. What annoys me the most is that so many people are still buying this thing.
Yeah,
why?
Buying one thing, the Wii?
And the DSi now, too. It's like, why are you buying it? It's, you know, I understand if you don't have a DS that you want to go out and buy it, but, you know, unless you really, really want to take advantage of the features, I don't see the value in buying a DSi instead of just holding onto your DS Lite.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. But I actually have been missing my Wii, and we know damn well that there are some games out there. Like I said,
there's some.
I bought systems a lot less. I mean, like Game Wars, you know, like the 3DO or something like that, where there were maybe a handful. But
You bought 3DO because it has Super Street Fighter 2 Turbo on it.
No, I didn't like that version at all.
Rabbit hole.
I bought it for Star Control 2 and Neurodancer.
Star Control was awesome.
And Plumbers Don't Wear Ties. And
guys, I really got to pee, so...
Oh, yeah.
All right, so let's take a break. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk about community games, and then we're going to do new releases, listener email, and a new question of the week. So stay tuned, and we'll be back right after this.
Word up.
And now I can breathe.
Yep.
It's time to wake up. Okay. Oh, shit. God, I'm so wet. Oh, yeah. I'm wet.
Hey, ladies.
Hey.
Hi.
Hello.
The guys in the VG Evo Podcast Network want us to record a promo for their shows.
Porno?
What?
Really?
It figures all the male podcasts would want us to record a porno. We're the only female podcast on the network.
No, a promo for the Sisters in Gaming Podcast. Remember the show we do once a month?
In that case, I'm not interested.
If you are looking to get more from Gamer Girls than bump mapping and jigglies, check out the Sisters in Gaming podcast at sistersingaming.com. Or you can find us in the podcast network at vgevo.com.
What? Now we can't talk about jigglies?
Oh, I'm done.
Sisters in Gaming is a proud member of the VG Evo podcast network.
Yeah! 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 Yeah!
And welcome back.
You welcome back.
Ah, shit. I think I'm going to put that last thing that Jason said in just for the hell of it.
Totally out of context.
It's the Portland Trailblazers.
That's right. Today we are talking about community games and whether they're worth it, whether they're doing something good for us. So, and we got a few emails on this, so I'm going to pass it over to Jason as usual and let him take the show
away. Son.
What? Oh, I wasn't prepared. I didn't know that we'd actually be coming to me. Wow.
We'd never do that.
No, that's, we change it
totally
up.
Totally out of left field. Yo. All right, so Chris, explain what we're talking about, community games. We got a few emails. First one here is from Necro, and he says, well, he reiterates, hey, Necro here. Community games, are they worthwhile? I think the answer is, Necro is kind of one of our fence sitters. Like, all of his emails are like, well, yes and no. Let me explain.
Maybe not. Kind of black, kind of white.
Yeah. I mean, when an indie dev makes something really cool, it can turn into big things and be very successful. For proof of that, look at Alien Hominid. It started out as a flash game on Newgrounds.com, and it ended up getting brought to PS2 and GameCube and receiving an Xbox 360 release. And there are things like The Dishwasher on Xbox Live, which started out as an XNA game, which was made into a full XBLA game, achievements and all. Which, to everyone hearing this, if you like beat-em-ups or action games like Devil May Cry, God of War, or Ninja Gaiden, buy this game. Seriously, awesome game. Back on topic, though. Games like those have started out as a
Necro
one-man
also
team.
Likes Bullet Witch. Sorry.
What's that?
So Necro also likes Bullet Witch. Just let everyone know that before they go and dive in.
Comes with a poster. I mean, come on.
Oh, my goodness.
Back on topic,
we kinda,
games
we
like
joke with Necro about the fact that he likes so many shitty games. Not to say that The Dishwasher is shitty, but he plays like Bullet Witch, and he played what was it, Two Worlds? He was all over that.
Yeah. Oh my God, Wanted is the best game ever. Chronicles of Riddick. Yeah, I don't feel it.
Necro, we love you, man.
Anyway,
we're just messing with you.
That's a games like those have started out as a one man teams. And turned into something amazing. The other end of this is you get a lot of crap. There are a lot of indie games. While the concept may be cool, for whatever reasons, the game just isn't all that good. I mean, once again, look at XNA. There are about a dozen or so Sudoku games, Tetris ripoffs, and other games that make me go, who gives a shit?
Well, that's
what it really comes down to. It's the people making the game, or in cases of things like the Little Big Planet content. We need a way to filter the crap and let the cream rise to the top so we can get the good stuff. That's what she said.
That's what she said.
Saw that coming.
The good stuff always seems to be really good, too. Take Portal for an example. People who don't know the story behind the story. Basically, Portal came to be after Valve saw a student project that some students at DigiPen were working on.
Yeah.
They gave the kids jobs, and now have we... And now we have one of the most creative and fun puzzle games in the last 10 years. Okay. Also, glad to see Chris back on the show in one piece last week. Keep up the good work, guys. And why the heck, now that I've put down the kill zone, instead of playing Street Fighter 4 pretty regularly, does Goffy always never seem to get my invitations? Oh, I'll tell you why. He's scurried off. Or he's scared of me, that's why.
He's scared of you.
He scared me. Also, I need to play the rest of you sometime, although maybe not Jason, because I'd like to be able to actually get a hit in. Peace out. Side.
Yeah, Necro, you might want to try your chances with me, because I kind of suck.
Chris has the EX Jesus kick, though.
So yes, I do have the EX Jesus kick. I'm working on that.
I'll answer the before if it's mine. Yeah, he's played way too much Killzone. I was like, I'd be the one like, hey, you want to play Street Fighter? He'd be like, I'm playing some Killzone. And then it's like Switch now. Well, not Switch, like I'm not playing Killzone, I'm playing Street Fighter. But the problem is, like, when I really get into like a match with people, if you don't send me more than one message, I might not see it because I'm too busy concentrating.
Oh, yeah.
I will gladly kick your Cammy's ass over and over and over again, Necro, if you really want me to. Don't spam Cannon Drill. Just gonna say.
One of those fucking matches, I lost to a Cammy that spammed the Cannon Drill.
Really?
That was one of my lag matches, and I'm like, fucking A, I know this is coming, and I just couldn't block it in time. Anyway.
Nah. He's all right. But yeah, Necro, next time I'll play you for sure. We'll see what happens.
Cool. Good points, though, all around.
Yes, definitely.
He sits on the fence, and he doesn't know how to really feel. But
I think we should definitely... might as well bring it up now since he brought it up first, is they need some kind of filtering system.
Yeah.
Which
they need a rating system of some sort.
Well, more than just, know, like the ratings against, you know, violence and sexual themes.
No. They need like a ratings, like basically
like
the iPhone.
A number of stars, like so that people can rate the game of how good it is.
Mm-hmm. That's the big problem with X and A, at least with X and A right now, is there's no way to weed through the shit and the good stuff because you're rolling the dice. Every time you see a game on there, you can't see how many times it's been downloaded. You can't see a rating. There's no kind of review whatsoever.
What are you talking about? I am so happy that Rocket Fart is getting, you know, front page recognition for like weeks on end.
Rocket Fart? Yeah, what? No, dude, seriously, there is, yes.
There's a game called Rocket Fart. Yeah.
Well, yes. I'm not sure if that's what it's called. There's actually a couple a different on it. Fart themed games. Yeah, one's more, you know, the arcadey Rocket Farts, you know, where you kind of... Yeah, you know, you did Gravity Works, and you know you have to use your fart to kind of propel yourself up in the air and get ice cream and cake and shit like that. But the other one's like a fart soundboard, and it also provides some fart trivia and you know things of other
something like 300 and something fart trivias or something like that, like
give or take
on farts.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Why?
Because you want to know why? Because
you can't.
Because this is. You know what? I don't know if I should, this is like my main point I'll bring up is, okay, having an open system on anything to do with user-created content is a bad idea. And having something be free, because we know XNA isn't free, you got to pay for whatever it is, subscription fees and whatever.
Right, it's $100 a year.
And people, there's been all this thing about how much money Microsoft takes from your game on Xbox Live, whatever. But let's just say they didn't take any money, and all you have to do is pay the stream, just put a game out there. The problem with that is anybody and their grandmother will do it just to say they did, and it eliminates the people that are dedicated to it, that will actually put time and effort into it. If they had to go through something like screening process or something like that, being like, okay, this is okay to go up there. And it just floods the servers or whatever kind of way you want to look at it, like what kind of provider, whatever, with a bunch of shit that does not need to be there and shouldn't be there.
It gets saturated with stuff. I was keeping my fingers crossed for, you know, the $100 or $200, you know, thing actually being as kind of a deterrent to keep rocket farting power off.
Seriously, that was my thought too.
So this dude actually, you know, paid the money to become part of the club.
He paid $100 to make a game called Rocket Fart.
And it's a ridiculous game.
I wouldn't be surprised if that's one of the top downloaded XNA games, just because
it is
ridiculous
currently one of the most popular games on there right now.
I'm sorry. That's just wrong.
There's something wrong with this world. No, but I mean, this is the situation. I mean, this is the kind of thing where, I mean, I know that you say that it doesn't work, but I mean, I still think that Little Big Planet works in what it does.
No,
it lets you rate.
Little Big Planet, the first like month it was out, there was so much shit on there, it was ridiculous.
Yeah, and didn't see most of it because people are able to rate the levels.
Okay,
you
say it does top have the
rated levels,
there,
and you could just see what was there. You can see the best levels that are there.
But how many levels were rated 5 out of 5 that were simply go down this fucking ridiculously huge slide and then get a million points to get achievements?
Well, I mean, that's...
Sometimes that happens. Top 10 were all trophy whoring levels at the beginning because people were like, all right, I can throw a bunch of bubbles in a freaking bowl.
But at least you can rate the levels. That's what I'm getting at. XNA needs some sort of rating system so you can filter out the crap.
Oh, yeah, I'm not going to argue that. They definitely need some kind of thing like that.
Because as much as you dislike the easy levels that take 30 seconds and get you trophies, a lot of people do like those. You know, and
there are a lot of people out there that do.
Yeah.
So.
Well. Yeah.
Anyway.
That's why Now was like, it's kind of foreshadowing again, but if you go on Little Big Planet Now, most levels that are rated popular and good ratings are actually good levels.
Right. Because it's had some time to mature.
It's filtered out the douchebags who aren't just the novelty. Like, oh, I'm going to make something ridiculous.
Yeah, those people that did it just for the novelty have already done it, and they've moved on.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, there's still those people that are making calculators and clocks and stuff like that. It's like,
see, but I actually admire some of that shit because that takes there's a lot of work behind that.
Fine.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't really do anything. You go in there and you see it, and it's like, oh, yay, it's a clock. But, I mean, I admire it from the standing that they did it, you know?
Yeah, I guess.
On the flip side, I don't admire the fact that they're having this stuff clogging up my gaming platform. It's not an application delivery system. You know, I mean, put that on the fucking iPhone. Put that on the Android. I don't need a calculator on my Xbox.
That's something that works great. Is the way the iPhone, the Android. Well, I'm not sure.
Oh, you were talking about the Xbox. I was talking about Little Big Planet.
Oh, gotcha. Okay. All right.
Yeah, I was talking about a Little Big Planet level. That's a calculator.
Gotcha.
But my thing is also, Chris, the Little Big Planet thing is a little bit separate because everything is 100% free. Where we have the opposite end of the spectrum, where XNA is not free, no rating system. I think what actually does it right is the iPhone, and I'm not sure if it's the same way on Android. You guys, or Jason might have to correct me if I'm wrong here, but most of the stuff that costs money, and most of the good stuff does cost money, like a little bit, maybe it's 99 cents or whatever. That's going to make people more or less think about what they want to download first and make them actually think about a rating. They're not going to just slap one on. Like, if you buy something for a dollar and it sucks ass balls, you can be like, you know what, I appreciate the way what this app does, but for me and like entertainment value, whatever, it's a piece of crap. You're going to think, okay, I paid a dollar for this, it's getting a 2 or a 3. Whereas Little Big Planet might have the most worthless level ever created. But the fact that you got a trophy out of it, or you had something made you laugh in the middle, you're like, it's free, whatever. You know what? I'm going to give this guy some respect. I'm going to slap on a 4 or 5, because people, there's no risk to that. You're not, when you put a 4 or 5 on something like that, you know you're not going to hurt anyone. Be like, hey, I'm going to give this 4 or 5. People can download it either way. If they don't like it or not, it doesn't really matter because they're not paying for it. Whereas at least I know when I download something on the iPhone, and it says, hey, would you like to rate this? I'm thinking, okay, I want to rate this based on people spending their money, so I'm actually going to give it an honest review.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you can't just say, hey, all my friends, rate this shit right away, because give this all fives, because it's going to cost your friends money to download it if you're actually charging something for it. So I think it's more honest in that regard. So it's like,
well,
kind of like
I would agree with that, yeah. You're going to be more likely to rate something badly if you paid money for it and it sucks.
Oh God, yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
But on the flip side, as you know, I said earlier, you might not like those trophy levels, but there's a lot of people out there that play these games for the trophies, and they do. They do like them.
Oh yeah.
So.
Yeah.
You would give that a bad rating.
I'm not saying it's an iPhone thing versus Little Big Planet.
Right. I know.
An example of like a half meaning between the three that we've talked about so far.
Right. Right. But that's kind of what I'm getting at. The fact that you're paying money for these XNA games is even more reason that they should have some sort of rating system so that the users that buy the games can rate them on a scale of 1 to 5 or 1 to 10. 100%
agree. Yeah. And I can see that they have to do that sometime in the future, and I don't see why they wouldn't, because soon it's going to get ridiculously oversaturated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I thought that was the original intent. What was the tagline? The initial tagline? This was supposed to be like the MySpace for video games or something like that?
Basically,
the YouTube of video games?
YouTube.
Which allows
has ratings.
User comments and ratings and everything like that. If they could integrate a little more social interaction and stuff, this would work out a hell of a lot better.
The thing with Yeah, and X and A, Microsoft means a community, and people are calling it, we need ratings. Like, I understand why they themselves aren't putting ratings on it, and, like, video game outlets and stuff, like IGN, 1UP, Giant Bomb, whatever, because there's way too much stuff to rate and whatever. Just give the people, the community, the opportunity to do that so we can rate the stuff that's going on there by the community, right. Made by the community, chosen by the community.
That embraces the whole democratic aspect of it all. You know, that's exactly. The epitome of it. That's what it's. Yeah, exactly. Anywho,
agreed.
Let's move on. Let's go to another email. This one's from Omri Kalmi.
Omri. Okay.
Anyway, this is it's a two-parter. One's like general question, but let me move on to the question of the week. It says, "I love community games or levels, i.e., Little Big Planet and N Plus, but there is a huge pretentiousness, i.e., Braid, for these games." But if the game priced well, advertised well, and plays well, since most community games are shit, and on the right platform, like Steam or XBLA or PSN, and not in an independent website, I would definitely purchase them and support them, like Peggle, or World of Goo, Da Blob, etc. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
So, a little bit of pretentiousness with some of the indie, kind of the artsy games. Yeah. Braid's a very, very good
Braid
example.
Or, what's that one for PSN? That guy's seemed pretentious as hell. Everyday Shooter, the guy who did that.
You think he's pretentious?
Not on the same level as Braid, but I don't know if you guys saw on the 1UP. This is not the 1UP show. Like, this is a long time ago, like a year ago. He was on there, like, kind of like a round table kind of thing. And he was just kind of talking, like, it was just like he wanted to do things his way. He didn't care about it, which is a good attitude. You want to do things your way. You don't care about anyone else. Kind of whatever.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like the guy who did Braid is just pompous ass. Like from what
because he's like preaching about how games should be, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I think I forgot his name. The guy that did like Everyday Shooter.
The guy who does Everyday Shooter. Yeah. I can't remember his name either.
But he just wants to kind of do his own thing. That's the thing.
Yeah, but. Yeah, he just came off as more of like a my thing is different, so therefore should it be considered good kind of attitude.
Okay.
Whereas the guy who did Braid's attitude is more of like what I thought of and how I did this game was brilliant. I'm a genius.
Yeah.
It should be done. So it's like it's a two different types of kind of pretentiousness. It's kind of like the guy who hates things that are popular because they're popular, so he has to be different, versus the guy who thinks he's above everyone else because he thought of something that no one else thought of or no one else could think about this because it's just that off the wall and out of the box.
Right.
So, two different forms. I'd say that Braid is definitely the more major of the two evils, but yeah. That's with art in general. Or anything creative. You're going to get those people.
I'm with you there. I can sympathize. So, Jonathan Blow? I forget who did Braid, but is he kind of like M. Night Shyamalan and Ding Dong? Like, look at me, I'm so smart.
I got a story about that. It's kind of digressing. You can cut this out if you want. But a girl I used to go to like high school with and elementary school with, she became like a dancer, not a stripper, but like one of those dancers who like a promotional dancer. They usually go to like clubs and stuff like that, and they'll like dance from like the rooftops kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she was actually working on a cruise line for a while. And M. Night Shyamalan Ding Dong was actually on this cruise, whatever, promoting something, and was ridiculously like hitting on her, and she didn't know who the hell he was. So she's like, "Ha, you're funny." He's like, "Yeah, why don't you after this?" He's like, "I got this opening part for my new movie, and we haven't casted it yet." Doing that whole spiel, she's got pictures and everything. So I was like, I'm calling bullshit. She's like, "No, here's some pictures." I'm like, "Oh my god!" And he's like, "Yeah, he's in the social." Like, "Yeah, we don't really know. You'd be like the perfect part. You're gorgeous, the right height, and all this stuff."
Oh,
and then
my
she's
god.
Still like, "Who are you?" And then she's like, "Oh, I'm M. Night Shyamalan. Did this, whatever." She's like, "Oh yeah, no, thank you. You know what? I'm happy here, whatever." Kind of thing, and he apparently like threw a fit, like he was just so pissed off. And apparently, the guy's like 4'6" too.
Yeah,
so I didn't
want to
help either.
Sounds like the ShamWow.
Stop
guy.
Yelling at me, or I'll step on you.
Yeah, exactly. And she's probably about like 5'8" or something like that. So, yeah,
that's awesome.
Anyway, that was a little.
By the way, his name's Jonathan Blow.
Yeah,
Jonathan Blow. Okay, yeah.
Guy who made Braid.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Anything more on artsy pretentiousness?
Well, I mean, I agree with the idea of supporting independent developers, but I also agree with not supporting the pretentious bastards. So,
or you can still support, if you like the game, get the game.
Thank you.
I'm all for that. Like, if it's fun, fucking buy it. Who cares? You don't, like, really, the amount of people that download this stuff to actually know who Jonathan Blow is or what he said in an interview is probably so, like it's way over, like, overshadows how many people actually know who he is and read the interviews. Who cares? Right. We like to bitch about this stuff because we're like, what a fucking asshole. We don't get this guy's a douchebag.
I
like
this game. I love the game because it is innovative and it's different and it is artsy and it's so outside of the box, you know, from anything else that we're seeing in the market, you know, and that's why I mean, those types of games are just like, I mean, this is what it's all about, right? These community-based games. It's off the beaten path. It's not commercial, you know. It's just, I don't know, it's cool. It's indie, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I picked up Everyday Shooter. Couldn't we even... I thought it was great.
Oh, yeah, everyone thought that game was great. I haven't actually played it, but a lot of people thought it was good. But are these actually, like, because these are actually, like, are they... Where do we draw the line independent, though? Because those, all those games we're talking about were picked up by Microsoft and or Sony.
Right.
And were basically gave somewhat of a budget after they were noticed.
Mm-hmm.
So out of the actual independent games, which we're not seeing too much now, it's pretty new.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't seen anything really on the PSN yet because they haven't opened it up yet. And XNA, I'll ask you guys. Chris, Jason, how many XNA games have you played since it's been introduced?
Like community games?
Released on the public. Indie game. Totally indie games. We just go on there. Before that, we knew we were going to talk about this, like, and say, like, let's do some research, let's go play some games.
Uh-huh. Personally, quite a few.
For me, it was... Go ahead.
Sorry?
Personally, quite a few.
Oh, really?
The ones that looked interesting. I mean, because I've been preaching about this stuff for a while. You know, I really want to see this kind of stuff succeed. So, you know, I wanted to check out, you know, what's going on out there. And more often than not, I've been extremely disappointed. But, I mean, there's definitely been some gems out there. Or at least some, you know, very good steps in the right direction. Yeah. There's very, very few like shining stars. You know, Dishwasher's a good example. You know, you know, like one that made it big time, or something like Everyday
Shooter.
That was
like one of the first ones too. Huh?
Yeah, and that was one of the first ones. True. And then there's quite a few that show lots of potential. You know, that could be, you know, major games. I think, if given the proper treatment or the right kind of budget. You know what I mean?
And you need a budget. You do. You really do.
Like, oh, yeah, because you pour so much time and energy, you know, and just, seriously, just time, you know, because you can be working on this for months, and that's that's your life, you know?
Yeah.
Yep. But you got to pay the bills.
That's right. Should we, okay, well, do we have another email before I get into this next thing?
Well, Chris, how many have you really played?
Most of the ones that I played were when XNA was just announced. And they put out that, like, quick little shot of, like, five or six. Yeah, that pack. That was my experience with it mostly. I haven't.
Like, Jello Car or whatever.
Right.
Jelly Car.
I haven't really dabbled in it much since then. But, I mean, I the Dishwasher is definitely one of those gems. And, and you know, that's the thing. You're going to get, with stuff like this, with the good comes 10 times worth of the bad, right? So, you know, with every Dishwasher, you're going to get the controller by vibration massage game or whatever the fuck that is.
At least two of those.
2000.
Yeah.
Well, they have two of those. They now apparently have a single player and a multiplayer.
Yeah.
And I've heard that is one of the best, the most downloaded XNA games. And because, like, in any industry, when something makes it big, so far, whether, you know, big's all subjective, but there's going to be another person trying to copy it and make it better. And the fact that these things, like the fart rocket, whatever, and this massage thing, vibrator, is getting copycats, that's when MS needs to step in and be like, okay, we need some kind of screening process or rating thing to go through first, because this is ridiculous. Because making that person who made Braid, that person who made Weapon of Choice, which actually was really good, I don't know if you guys actually checked it out.
I bought it.
Really good shooter. That's actually made by an ex-Insomniac employee. And it's really good. And that got no attention at all.
It got some, but not nearly what it should have.
Well, compared to what he put into it, he got like, he didn't make money off it, let's put it that way. It was like 10,000 downloads, which is nothing out of like a sea of what? Like,
and
20 million?
From what it sounded like, he ended up only getting, you know, 40% of that. Mine it before expenses, you know.
Yeah.
And Microsoft got the rest.
Yeah.
Ouch.
So, that's the other.
Well, mind you, if he would have sold 100,000, I guarantee you he wouldn't have made those comments.
That's true.
The way it works.
But that's the thing. I mean, if he actually did get the 30% charge, which I'm thinking he did because of the fact that he mentioned it. I mean, that's the thing.
What do you mean, like the 30% advertising charge or whatever?
Yeah, that advertising charge. Yeah. They said it was 10% to 30%, and if he actually ended up paying 30% for it, and he only sold 10,000, that kind
of
sucks.
Well, the thing is, they don't pay for it; they take it out of the revenue that gets downloaded, so it's not coming out of
right.
The creator's
that's what I
pocket. Yeah. So, but then that's his fault. I mean, it's if they come up to you, it's like in the cottage, say, hey, listen, we're offering this. You want it, but the chances are like it's you're making a gamble. You're giving up 30% to take the opportunity or the chance that this advertising will get this many more people to download the game.
Right.
So 10,000 with advertising, you're thinking without advertising, whether or not that made a difference or not, would he have been better off if he did not take that, stuck with the 30%, which is like standard, which is across like Android and iPhone, and maybe sold 2,000? 3,000? Is he better off? You can't really put a number on that because you don't know how much money he put into it.
Well, you don't know how many he would sell without it.
That's what I'm saying.
You don't know. But, and if someone didn't buy it, you don't know how much they would have sold with it. So it's really hard to judge in that situation. But
let's put it this way. I knew about Weapon of Choice. I read it in a couple magazines, saw it on gaming websites. I just chose not to download it. But I knew about it. I've never even heard of, like, besides listening to a podcast, I've never heard of Fart Rocket or whatever that fart thing is. So they did their job for that 30% that they took. They got the name out there and people knew about it. Like, yeah. I knew about it months ago. I just chose not to download it because I played it. I was like, yeah, it's pretty cool. But I honestly can't see myself playing it for more than the demo was. Just because, I don't know, no reason why, really. I just with the Xbox Live Arcade games, I don't really have an attention span for them. So so it did their job. It's just they got the name out there.
I don't know if that's really Microsoft's doing, though. Like, I think they maybe put, like, an initial push out there, you know, where they have it in, like, a gallery of, like, you know, featured or most popular, or something like that, and then word gets out, you know, like, especially with all the magazine articles and stuff, you know, because they want to, you know, they want to report on stuff like this, and, I think a lot of that is word of mouth. Because, yeah, I mean,
it could, too, and even...
They don't really have an advertising platform for this, you know, other than just displaying it on
that
Xbox
we know
Live.
Of, yeah.
Right.
Because we don't know if Microsoft talks to these outlets and says, hey, listen, there's an XNA game that is going to be awesome. Here you go. You should guys check it out. Because there's more of a chance that they're going to put, like, does that count as advertising? Because they're advertising to their outlets. They're saying, hey, here's a game that looks like it has potential. You guys should check it out. Write up a little article, whatever. Do your thing. Mm-hmm. Whereas the games like Fart Rock, whatever, don't get those because they're like, Microsoft's not going to bother spreading the word for those. So it comes down to, like, what is considered advertising now? Is it putting an ad on Xbox Live Arcade when you log in? Is it throwing an actual, like, one-page magazine page and you know where to throw through a magazine? It's like, oh, okay, it's XNA. Or is it getting it out there in terms of the media outlets that everyone goes to every day?
Yeah.
Because we don't know what that can, like, you know, because that can make a huge difference.
I think it's mostly grassroots. I mean, this guy was out at, like, you know, he was out giving public demonstrations and stuff, and he was showing up on podcasts, and, I mean, he was all over the place.
Yeah.
I don't think
he was also known to the industry, too, so that kind of helps out a lot. So it could have been that.
He worked at Insomni. He didn't do a ton of stuff, though. I mean, he worked at, like, Running with Scissors, you know, did some of the postal stuff.
Yeah,
but, I mean,
like,
he didn't do much at Insomniac. Like, he did some, like, you know, weapon models or something. He wasn't, like, a rock star programmer anything.
Exactly.
I didn't even find that out until well after I knew about the game, though.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Oh, okay. Nice.
But, all right.
I guess my thought is,
one of you guys made an XNA game and said, sorry for interrupting, Chris, but if one of you guys made an XNA game and contacted, like, IGN and said, hey, I made this XNA game, it's going to be good, check it out. Where are you from? We do Indus and I work for whatever company. Yeah, we'll see if we get back to you. Or if you say, hey, I'm an ex-employee that worked for Running With Scissors, Insomniac, blah, blah, I made this XNA game, I'm going to check it out. Automatically, that gives you recognition. They're going to have you on there to advertise it.
Well,
I'm saying, this isn't the whole thing about Microsoft thing. This is totally out of that, them advertising. But I'm saying that helped him out a lot to get out there.
Oh,
it's kind of a total, like, sidebar.
Yeah, but no doubt about that. You know, I mean, he obviously, I mean, I would never get that type of attention if I made an XNA game. It just wouldn't happen. But... You know, I mean, that's the thing. But eventually, someone is going to check it out. If you start contacting enough people, someone's going to look at it.
Yeah.
You know?
I don't know. No, I hear you.
And as far as like the extra 30% that they the extra 10 to 30% that they take for the advertising that they do, I mean I don't think they do.
Right. Because well, like I said, it's all behind the, it could, we don't know if advertising is them contacting these outlets saying, check this game out.
Have you heard about any other XNA games besides you know, from any other outlets?
What do you mean?
Have you heard any news outlet, any gaming news outlet talking about XNA games? Specific XNA games. Besides the dishwasher.
Well, weapon of choice.
Yeah.
And that's basically it besides the other ones. But how do we know that those other games didn't agree to the 30% take from Microsoft? We don't know.
We don't. But the thing is that what I'm trying to say is that what they did for Weapon of Choice
does a weekly
definitely wasn't worth 30%. Especially, well, I should say it wasn't worth 60% because that's what they're charging them. Mm-hmm. If it was just that 30% or maybe 40%, I can understand that. But I don't think it was worth 60%. That's crazy.
But it's not 60, it's 30. 30 is pretty much the standard. Anywhere you make any type of community-made game, and that's where they charge, like, you can put a price on it and they take it, it's 30%.
I understand
so
that.
So really, but 80, the really 30% is the for the advertising, but we don't know. We don't know who's accepting this, who's not accepting this. We don't know what goes into the advertising, what doesn't go into the advertising, what is considered advertising.
But
so we really can't
point.
Say that is too much or not too much.
That's not the point. But have you ever seen any advertising about any XNA game besides Weapon of Choice at all? Unless you go to the XNA screen on Xbox Live.
No, but like I said,
that's,
we don't know how many other games. But do you know? How do you know the other games haven't agreed to that? How do we know, like, this might be a thing, like, in the contract where they get the XNA contract being like, hey, this is what you can get, these are the levels. How do you know that no other game has chosen, like, hey, you know what, we want that 30% advertising. You don't. So it works both ways.
Well,
you really can't tell. And you can't say that a game or not is not worth it, because the only reason this guy is saying it wasn't worth it for him is because his game didn't download 100,000 copies. It downloaded 10,000. Well, that's the fucking problem with paying for advertising in any industry. Advertising, most of the time, costs almost as much, if not, it could be more than actually developing your product itself.
Mm-hmm.
So your return on investment is not, oh, how I put in X amount of dollars for this advertising versus how much I got back. It's how well it's advertised, how many people decide, you know what, this advertising, this is what I want, how good the product is, and they return it. Like, I guarantee you, if this guy's game, if Weapon of Choice sold in, like, the hundreds of thousands, or, like, not even that much, like, maybe in 60,000 copies, he would not even complain about that. Because he would have made a profit, and he would be like, this is a great platform. But the fact that his game only sold 10,000, he's like, listen, I had to give this much money to this, Microsoft took this much amount of money, it's sour grapes. That's just the way it works in any industry where you're selling anything with any amount of money with advertising. So you can't really put a number on what it's worth to what was given back. Because it really depends on the community buying into that. Like I said, we all heard of Weapon of Choice, every single one of us. Did any one of us download it?
I did, I bought it.
Yeah, well, there you go. One person did.
You're still not understanding. I still don't know if you're understanding what I'm saying. My thought is that even with what they did with Weapon of Choice, I don't think that was worth more than 10%. What they did with Weapon of Choice.
Yeah. I'm totally with you there. Yeah, because I mean, they're saying that it's for advertising, but we're not really seeing.
Yeah, we're not seeing anything.
Yeah, we're not seeing what it should be exactly. Right. No, I hear you there.
And here's the other thing. Here's the other thing. You said that it was a standard across the board that like XNA, iPhone, all that stuff, 30%, right?
And iPhone and what's it called? Android.
Android.
It's all 30%.
It's all 30%.
But you can sell it for free if you want to.
Android and iPhone.
But yeah.
You can't do that on XNA.
No.
Right? Okay, here's the other thing. How developed compared to what's on the iPhone is the XNA application in general? You're paying the same amount for something that where you can't do it for free. You can't have ratings from users.
Well, you realize it costs a lot more money to make an iPhone game, though, right?
How so?
The sign up fee to make an offer an iPhone game is over $1,000.
Is it
an iPhone app? Yep.
Well, that I didn't know.
But so
still,
you're paying a lot
still,
more money.
You're still getting more out of the actual system behind everything is more on the iPhone, and you're getting charged the same amount as far as the royalty goes.
Mm-hmm. Is that just for a license? Is that just a one-time fee, or is that for each?
I'm pretty sure it's a license. I can double check, but I know through people have made an iPhone game, they had to pay over $1,000 just to get it on there on the store. Mm-hmm. So, but what do you mean, Chris? What do you mean by you're getting a lot more by that? Because you can put it on for free or not?
Well. number one, you can put it there for free. So if you're just trying to make something mm-hmm. and put it out there, then you can do that. The other thing is that because they have the user ratings on the iPhone store, you're going to get, mm-hmm. you know, if your application's actually worth it, you're going to get recognition whether you pay for advertising
or
not. And that's the thing. That's another thing. If XNA had some sort of rating system, then nobody would pay for advertising because they wouldn't have to. If they made a good game,
That's the one thing that we talked about earlier. Is like everyone's going to agree with that. It needs a rating system, 100%.
Yeah.
But they've already Microsoft's already come out and made it public. They're taking away that 30% charge for advertising.
Yeah, they
anyway.
Did.
So it's kind of a
temporarily,
thing
so they can reassess.
But, well, exactly. You have to reassess when you're only charging someone like to because they are providing the like I said, if you want to compare it to let's pay it to the iPhone with XNA, what is it, $200 to get the actual subscription, whatever, and all the tools. Versus you have to charge at least a dollar. So then you go on to iPhone where you're paying over $1,000 to get your thing on their server, but you can charge for free. So either way, each company's making their money. It's just in a different form. One's True. Making it off the downloads for holding the game on their servers, letting you people download it, where Apple is making it up front. Like, you're going to pay us this much money to have our app on our store. You can charge whatever you want. You can charge $5, $15. You can even charge nothing. But to get this on here, you're paying over $1,000.
Yeah. So I won't disagree with that. $1,000 is pretty steep. So.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that.
Quite a bit. So, I mean, either way, to be an independent gamer, an independent creator these days, it's going to cost money one way or the other unless you're making Little Big Planet levels because that's really the only other like medium we have right now.
What about M+?
Well, I guess PC stuff actually. So yeah, PC stuff's always out there.
Yeah
but then I mean you're going to have to get on Steam or something to really get noticed or direct to drive or anyway.
Yeah, and the PC stuff, because honestly PC gamers know their stuff. Word of mouth spreads really quick and mm-hmm. the stuff that is really good really stands out on it. Like, I only hear about the really good mods with Fallout and with Unreal Tournament 3 and, like, Half-Life with all the Source Engine stuff. Like, I only hear about the really good ones. So, that says something, because they're used to it. This is brand new to consoles. Like, brand new. And with the iPhone and Android, it's not new. The whole thing is new. And people that own these things, they started with it. They didn't start, like, with anything that wasn't downloadable, like console gaming with online gaming, they jumped right into, I have this device where I can download games and applications to. So to them, it's starting off like, oh, this is how it's done. Whereas we're having this kind of slow transition into like, hey, well, here's XNA games, here's stuff for the iPhone, here's stuff for Little Big Planet levels. And it's going to take time for us to adjust, like the hardcore people anyway, because we're just used to playing our games or downloading our games and playing them. And I don't know, it's kind of like a stuck between. This is going to have a transition period. Everything's brand new, basically, to consoles. Mm-hmm. So,
well, I'm worried about all this now, you know, because you know we've seen you know community games you know thrive on the PC side of things, but I mean now I've got second thoughts. Are the console kids a viable market for stuff like this?
Honestly, I don't think so.
Yeah, I don't know. It's another platform.
Really
I mean,
don't.
It's another you know avenue. That's definitely something to think about.
It is, but. Like, I think XNA's, I don't want to call it a failure, because, mm-hmm. like, it's new, but not a lot of people even check it out, or even know it's there, which most of that is on MS's fault for not really advertising it at all.
Yeah.
That it's, like, I have to remind myself, hey, I should check XNA, see if there's anything that looks relatively appealing on there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't see anything like, hey, check XNA for this game, or check XNA for these, like, you know, we have some new updates, whatever.
Yeah.
And totally lost my train of thought. Wow, that's awesome. Oh, yeah, failure. So, I just think that the gamers these days, that they want instant gratification.
They want their Tehalos.
Exactly, they want their Tehalos, and, you know, they want their To God of Wars, and they want all that kind of stuff, and their Tamarios. And it's
to Mario's.
And they want instant gratification. They want to look at a website and say, this game got an 8 or a 9. I'm going to download it. I'm going to buy it. And nowhere besides independent sites rates XNA games. No one does. IGN has
Metacritic still
round
does.
Up. Do they really?
Yeah, they do.
But where does Metacritic get it? Where do they get their reviews from?
They get it from, you know, other review sites. And maybe it's not IGN all the time, but yeah.
Yeah, it's not coming from like IGN, 1UP, Giant Bomb, like GameSpot, the big ones, where probably 80% of gamers look to to find the reviews. So until that happens, and there's no way in hell they're going to start reviewing them. People aren't going to spend their money on it. And that's, I think, where Microsoft has to, you know, do something. Like, I agree with you, Chris. Like, if you make an XNA game, if you already paid your thing, it should be up to you to put it up there for whatever price. Like,
right.
I honestly believe it should be like that on anything. Like, it's your creation. You should decide. Like, yes, they are providing the base in which you're putting your game onto to have it downloaded. They're providing that, like, infrastructure for you. But people aren't, like, because they're forcing people to buy these games. And well, at least there is a demo. Yes, there's a demo for everything, but people aren't going to be willing to spend $1 or $2, at least on the console side of things, like, at an impulse buy, if they they're not familiar with it, or if they can't see a review by one of these big sites because they don't know any better.
So do all the XNA games have demos for them?
Yeah, they do have very short. They're timed trials.
They're timed.
Like, you get like 5 or 10 minutes with it before it shuts off.
All right.
So yeah, you still get that demo, which is, you know, more than enough time, I think, to justify like a $5 purchase maybe. But some of the games are
when you consider that they start at 200 points, that's you know, that could be all you need to justify spending $250 on this game.
No doubt.
Yeah, true.
Absolutely. And there's some really good ones out there. But
It's just going to take a while to weed out, and then once an novelty wears off or whatnot.
Yeah. I want to rant more about the rating system later, but we have one more one more email here. This is my favorite one. This one's really, really good. This one's from Nirmasa, and she sums up a lot of my thoughts. But she says, hey, in this...
She's the one married to that douchebag, right? Over
PS Nation. Scott Sauer? No, that's completely...
Oh, sorry, not the douchebag. Snap. Sorry. Sorry, she's actually...
I heard douchebag, and I immediately thought, okay. I love you, Scott. You know, I don't mean it. Call you later. Hey, Indus, your question this week comes at a good time for me to respond. I'm not nearly as hardcore, in air quotes, about gaming as you guys, but after watching Apple's March announcement for the 3.0 update to the iPhone, I was inspired to support the little guy. I know, you're all rolling your eyes with your fat, with a P, G1 phones in hand. Actually, I'm the only one with a G1.
Yeah. Jeff, yeah, you've got that. I don't have one.
Anyway,
and Jeff has an iPhone, so
yeah, I have a G3. Yeah.
At the announcement conference, they played a video by an independent iPhone/iPod Touch application developer who is passionate about getting his entire life. Wait, he was passionate about gaming his entire life, but did not break into the mainstream video game industry. He always wanted to develop a game, but thought he could never compete with the big guys. Once again, air quotes. When Apple initially announced the software development kit, the SDK, for the iPhone, he saw that as his opportunity to fulfill his dream. He programmed his first game, and for the first time, he felt as though he could compete with the big guys, because he could create the game on his own terms, and Apple gave him the tools for success. When looking at the variety of platforms developers have, it's refreshing to know that there is an alternative to mainstream video games. Do the community developers always make good games? No, but neither do the big guys. If I had a choice between mainstream developer and community developer, I would probably choose the little guys. I feel that they put their true heart into the game development, and it is in its truest form. I feel that the video game industry does not always let their developers have the creative freedom that they deserve. On another note, I think the community developers have the best opportunity to touch a new market. With Apple, for example, looking at how many people have iPods and iPhones opens up a whole new audience of gamers. And the best part, most people can do this without a huge investment. Think of all those new gamers. Mm-hmm. Anyway, that's my 50 cents worth. Yours truly.
Fitty.
Nirmasa. Thank you.
Nirmasa.
That was a really good email.
Sisters in Gaming represent?
Yeah, sistersingaming.com. Yeah, I mean, I definitely agree I guess I'm kind of baffled on what even to say right now because of the fact that I kind of feel that way because I would really love to break into the development community, but it's one of those things where I don't feel like I would ever get to the level that I would need to be
to make a career out of it.
To actually make a career out of it. Right.
Right.
Because like when I was in school, they didn't have development majors and they didn't have that kind of shit. And right now, the only way I would be able to do it is something like XNA or iPhone development.
Yeah. I mean, we would all love to have something like this be our jobs. It's not realistic.
Oh, God, yeah.
But at the same time, you know, we want to create this sort of stuff. And, you know, her email sums it up perfectly. This guy had a dream of just doing this all his life, you know. Maybe the PC wasn't the most viable platform for it. But, you know, with stuff like XNA and, you know, the iPhone, you know, you've got, you know, a great user base built up already. You know, it's an easy distribution tool and it's cheap to get into. So, I mean, why not? You know, it's an easy way to, you know, kind of fulfill that dream. And that's extremely inspiring. I love that aspect of it.
I am going to compare, though, something Nirmasa said was got to they can do whatever they want with as much freedom as they want, as opposed to, like, a big developer not having so much freedom. I'm going to compare it to the music industry, whereas when you're a band that isn't signed to a label, you can do whatever the hell you want. You play whatever songs you want. You basically call all the shots. Why? Because you're not making anyone else money.
Mm-hmm.
But the second you get signed to a big label, they're like, okay, this is what we do. This is what we like what you did. They start hiring producers for you. They start doing this. You kind of have to basically listen to them because you're under contract. You're like, okay, listen, you're making us money. This is what we want you to do. And you kind of have to do it. Right. Whereas that's where kind of like you get between like caught between a rock and a hard place, this independent development. You can stick independent, not get the recognition, not get the market share, whatever, like the not the word of mouth. Word of mouth can spread as far as it wants to go. But I guess the marketing push, so to speak, whereas if that person actually makes it big and has someone like, let's say, like Epic or Insomniac or like Naughty Dog come on and be like, hey, we really like your stuff. Come on board. Basically, you have to make a decision. Do I stay this way where I make whatever the hell I want to, whereas Microsoft or Apple or Sony has such a minimal investment in what I'm doing, they really don't care as long as I'm bringing in some money, or do I join this big corporation where I'm doing my dream, I can make much bigger things, make better money, make games that's going to reach way more people, but creativity gets thrown out the window. Because let's be honest, there's really few developers, even to this day, big ones, that can get away with making stuff totally off the wall, totally creative, where the publishers say, do what you do, do it like how you do it, just go.
Nobi Nobi Boy makes perfect sense. I don't know what you're talking about.
Of course. But Nobi Nobi Boy, who published Nobi Nobi Boy?
It's a PSN exclusive, isn't it?
Yeah, but who published it?
I don't know the name.
Exactly, because it's not a big name publisher.
Right. They're that's my point.
It's like,
reiterating that. Yeah, you're right. Sometimes they will kind of let you just, you know, do whatever the fuck you want.
Whatever you want to.
Right.
And that's what I give Sony a lot of credit, because they are taking so many chances on their PSN games, which is awesome, because there might be few and far between, but as much as there's original games on Xbox Live Arcade, original, not so much original. Like, besides, like, you can call it like the Braids or whatever and stuff, but every PSN game that comes out seems to get that what the fuck reaction. For like 90% of the community, like, what the hell is Nobi Nobi Boy? That is just fucked up. Like, even Everyday Shooter, it was a shooter, but it was still messed up. You got the pixel junk eaten and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. It's just
Flower.
Weird. And they're giving, Flower, exactly. And they're just letting them fucking just do whatever the hell they want to. They're like, you know what, this will work. Go. Mm-hmm. Push it.
They're taking a lot more chances.
No, way more chances.
Yeah, definitely.
I think it's
more
paying
chances.
Off a lot better.
I hope it's paying off. Like, they don't release downloads. Neither of them.
They don't really release the numbers of them, but
I think the only company that's actually gone public to say downloads has been Criterion with Burnout. We just know that is the highest downloaded game ever, is Burnout Paradise. So, but they didn't release a number, so it's kind of sucks. But kudos to them, because these guys are making their creative thing. They're giving them as much freedom as they want. But like music, there's going to be a point where these people who have these great minds and everything get picked up by some other developer, and then they have to lose that for a while and eventually make their way back up to where they become like a director or a lead developer where they can call the shots and do all that kind of stuff. So,
real quick, I need to go back to something, because I was curious about it, so I looked it up. Jeff, where did you hear that it was $1,000 to develop iPhone games?
He said he knows someone who made first
contact.
Okay. Well, what I'm looking at on Apple's website is that it costs $99 to join the iPhone developer program.
Is that to join the program or to put your game on the iTunes store?
It says that you get access to the app store as well.
Weird.
So it said,
I'll double check that with.
Yeah, it does say as of March 2009, so that might be something that's changed.
Okay, so might be new then. Yeah.
Well, the site just says $99 for standard applications, and then I happened to look at the wiki as well, and it says as of March 2009, it's $99.
Okay, so might be true. It just might be as of March, right. Last month, but yeah, this was his. Thing was put out, I think, in January, February, and
gotcha.
Said it was quite a bit of money actually to get it up there.
Yeah,
let's go make but some I'll iPhone look, games.
We'll check.
Actually, since we're talking about the iPhone stuff, I was actually going to bring up something that a couple of the other podcasts on VG Evo have been talking about, and that's like the Furious Gamer Radio. Have you checked that out, Jeff?
No,
it's actually like it's a podcast. It's a gaming podcast application
that are furious.
Where you can actually type in the name of a game and it'll pull up like.
I have heard of that. It turns to all the podcasts that have mentioned the game, whatever, and like I've heard of that.
And it's only like 99 cents too. So that's I thought that was kind of cool.
That is pretty awesome.
But and then
are we on that?
We are in the application process, actually.
We're in queue.
I've exchanged some emails with Lauren a couple times, and he's
so if anyone looks up Street Fighter 4,
they'll get our podcast.
Better be top of that list.
Better be fucking number one.
Well, either way, I think that the there's no doubt that the community games concept is great for people in like my position that would love to get into development but don't feel like they have the time or the money to go out and get that type of education that they would need right now.
Yeah, makes sense. Right. But
or in a position to become like a programmer in a big name company,
right. Yeah. And I'll admit that I happily support the little guy,
Attaboy. No, God, yeah. If they're making a good product and you're enjoying it.
Yeah, why the hell not?
If they're pretentious, who cares? You don't know the guy. I want to have beers with the dude.
Luc Besson. That's the other pretentious dude.
Is it? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, is that the everyday shooter guy?
No. Sure. He's not the everyday shooter. I forgot that. Which guy is he? What the hell is it? More people are screaming the name right now of this game. Anyway. No, it was all like, pastel colored, nightsy looking. Anyway, Luc Besson. He was like,
swords.
I have a lot of critics that don't like me. I'm stopping game development forever.
Oh, David Jaffe.
Anyway.
It's me, Jesus.
Anyway.
I know exactly who you're talking about. This drives me nuts. Yeah, he didn't say he's going to...
We featured him in a news story.
He's the guy that did story?
Something Destiny's Child, I think. What's the name of the game?
Destiny's Child.
Something like that.
Really?
For real.
It was...
I know. I remember that. Oh, my God.
This is a rat hole.
Yes, I'm not making games.
It's a rat hole.
Oh, shit. God. There's a bunch of people screaming right now. You fucking... How can you not know this?
Hopefully they're like, what? Yeah, I think I heard of that game too.
Exactly.
Whatever.
About. You guys are making shit up.
Let's move on.
All right.
Well,
what are we moving on to?
Wrap
this
up.
This is awkward. Are we done?
I don't know. Are there
any?
Kind of got sidetracked quite a bit for like.
We're running a little long. Let's just wrap up.
That's okay.
I can go for good a conversation. While. Yeah.
All right. Well, let's answer our original question then. Mm-hmm. Are they hardly noticeable, or are they noticeably worth it?
Jeff.
That's tough.
All right.
I think they're noticeably worth it if you take the time to look. If not, then hardly noticeable. Because really, like, if you're not looking for these type of games, if you're not looking on XNA, if you're not looking on the iPhone App Store, looking for stuff that's different and stuff that you're not afraid to try, stuff that maybe doesn't have a 5-star rating or has no star rating. Because I have people that are like, well, I'm looking at it and doesn't have any rating for it. Yeah, it might be brand new, man. Give it a shot. Who cares? And unless you're looking for it, I think they're hardly noticeable because there's really nothing out there to advertise it or to get that out there.
Yeah, so that's something they got to work on.
Yeah.
It's got to change.
Okay. Jason. Oh, by the way, Luke Bernard, Eternity's Child.
Oh, Luke Bernard, Eternity's Child.
Yes,
that's it.
That is Besson. Besson.
Did you just like Google the quote that Jason made?
What's that?
Did you just Google the quote that Jason made? Like, reviewers don't appreciate me.
I'm leaving gaming development forever. I assume he has an accent because his first name is L-U-C. Should I answer the question?
All right. Well, Jason, what do you think?
Judging by sales, they're—I mean, as far as XNA is concerned, they're hardly noticeable, you know. And the market is apparently far more concerned with a rocket farting machine than they are with you know, actual good games.
Like weapon of choice.
Yeah, exactly. And that's really, really, really frustrating, and it breaks my heart. But apparently that's how it is. Until we can get something in there that, you know, allows us to, you know, spread word of mouth a little bit better, or, you know, gets the rating system in there or something like that. I mean, but on the flip side, I don't want to deter anyone from following, you know, if this truly is their dream, right? You know, yeah. I mean, I hope that, you know, Fart Rocket guy, I hope this wasn't his dream. Maybe it was, but, you know.
Well, easy way to put it, it's another medium of way to get noticed.
Yeah.
And without it, it would be a lot harder.
Yeah. One thing I really, really would like to change, get someone to do your fucking cover art a little bit better. Because Jesus Christ, there is some really, really bad shit on there. And it really makes me not even want to touch the game.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's like they have a sister who's like, you know, it's just kind of artistic. I can't do that shit. Well, actually, if you're
not
fucking
even, I'm talking
a game,
straight up sure MS Paint shit. I'm not
really
kidding. Not with the spray paint tool and everything. I'm not fucking joking. There's some really, really bad stuff out there. Ugh.
As you guys, when are you guys going to work on an XNA game? Whatever happened to that?
Yeah,
well, we kind of do a podcast, so.
Yeah. And Jason does a million other projects on the side as well.
Yeah.
So. He does Street Fighter.
Yeah, he does Street Fighter as well.
That's my other project.
Well, I'm going to say I'm a little bit more on the fence on this one, only because. the only reason I say that is because even though, yes, most of the shit is hardly noticeable, without this, there, you know, people like. You know, games like The Dishwasher or Weapons of Choice would probably have gotten.
Yes, agreed.
Exactly. So to that extent, it's worth it. The problem is I don't think it's noticeably worth it. I think it's
yet.
It's yet.
You gotta look. Yeah. Except for on PSN, because PSN is mostly worth it because a lot of their games are independent and they're the only ones that show up on there. So and most of those games are noticeably worth it.
So
they're really good.
Right now I'm kind of in the hardly noticeable area, but I have like a little amendment that says, you know, some things are noticeable and they're happy, you know, they're good. So
cool.
Yeah. I really hope that things get better though. I mean, I like the concept of the App Store because of the fact that, you know, you can put your games out there and people can see them and they can rate them. And God knows XNA needs that.
Oh, like, fuck really, yeah. Really more than anything.
That would help so
anything,
much.
Anything that's based on the community needs a rating system by some form. At least they got the everything has a demo thing, which the App Store doesn't. But it's really, having that is worthless unless you can have some kind of, tangible rating system put onto it. Because, I downloaded the trial, did like it. If I don't tell anyone about it, how is it going to get out there?
Yeah, exactly. Cool. All right. Well, let's move on then. Let's go to new releases.
New releases.
Let's do it.
This is going to be a shitty week.
I can't wait.
It's a bunch of XNA games. Let's go.
there's some stuff that's coming out on DS that kind of sounds interesting, but I'll get to that in a minute. For coming out next week for the Wii is Escape the Museum.
That's been on the list for 3 weeks now.
That's been on there for like a year.
Has it now?
At least 3 weeks.
Okay, then fuck it. That game's never coming out. I'm never talking about it again. For the DS, we have The Dark Spire, which is in... What's that?
Nothing. I said Escape the Zoo.
No, there's actually none of those Escape the Zoo type games this week.
Good stuff.
The Dark Spire, which is an Atlas role-playing game.
Excellent.
And let's see.
Probably has really badass cover. I love Atlas's cover. It's so good.
Actually, it looks kind of like a brick wall. And that's it.
All right.
The Black Sigil, which Blade of the Exile, which is also a role-playing game. Mm-hmm. Dokapon Journey, another Atlas role-playing game. And Core,
cool.
C-O-R-E, which is just the...
$2.99 Oh, wow, totally different. Okay,
you're
cool.
Really fucked up, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm getting there.
I can't remember the last time Jeff interrupted me this much. fucking jerk store.
As you were. Jerk store. I brought that back in a while. Anyway.
All right. There's nothing coming out next week for the 360. Nothing coming out next week for the PS3.
What?
PS2 is getting Guitar Hero Metallica. Welcome to the party. And let's see. PSP is getting Air Conflicts Aces of World War II. And that is your pathetic new release list.
We have to have a pick of the week for this?
I'm picking Darkspire because it's an Atlas RPG.
Sure. And
that's my reach out in the dark.
Yeah, same here.
And I'm going to wait for Repeat to send us an email about how I brushed over.
It's epic. It was based on this 1977 video game on the it's going to happen.
Repeat, if you do want to start sending emails about questions of the week, I've already got a segment name for you. So
new releases.
New release Repeats by Repeat. It's awesome. Okay.
I'm gonna do the same. I was gonna go with PS2 Metallica thing, but they have enough money. Screw it.
don't support Guitar Hero. Don't support Metallica. There you go.
Yeah.
Done deal. Cool.
Wow, that's ridiculous. I think that's the first ever pick of the week. We were like, what?
Why?
Why wasn't there like an Imagine game in there? Like the time there wasn't.
That's because it's coming out next week on the 21st.
Don't spoil it. Versus...
Sorry. Spoiler. Sorry. All right, Jason. I'm giving the show back to you, man.
Well, that was quick and uneventful. Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Yeah, no kidding.
All right, so we got a few regular emails. This first one's from our buddy Jack Bauer.
Hey, I know him.
Yeah, I've heard of
him. He's awesome.
He says, since PS Nation are having t-shirts made, will Indes be getting some? I'd love to walk around with a Gothy on my chest.
Nice.
Do you think we'll ever have shirts? I mean, we have like our shop shirts that we wear to like events, but
yeah.
It's certainly a possibility. We didn't want to tread on anyone's, you know, territory though.
Also we would have to do, in order to keep the price down, we'd have to get pretty big bulk as far as the t-shirts go.
Yeah.
And it would be pricey. So we could make a t-shirt, but it would probably be upwards of like
$500. Oh, sorry. How much did you say?
I said $16 or $17.
Okay. Sorry. I guess my calculations are way off.
Yeah, just a bit. You've had too much to drink. Everything's been expanded.
I don't do that.
Yeah, I totally wouldn't rule it. I mean, we have the images for it, so I mean, we could do it at any point.
And we have talked about doing t-shirts in the past, so.
Oh, yeah.
It's not something that's not going to happen, you know? I wouldn't be surprised if next year at MGC, when all three of us are there, if we had some t-shirts to sell or something.
To shoot out of a t-shirt gun?
To shoot out of a t-shirt gun,
dude,
yes.
We need one of those.
That's awesome.
Oh, fucking awesome. That would rule.
Hey, Glenn!
Okay, now we really gotta do it. All right, let's move on to another email. This one's from Sigma Omega. He says, "Say, distractive podcasters, I was sending this email to tell you that this past weekend I attended Tekko Shokan, an anime/game convention. It was really fun. I'm sending you this to tell you that I didn't cosplay. Oh, that's right. He was going to cosplay something. Because I couldn't get it done in time. But not only that, at this convention, there was a concert, but not just any concert. You know that theme you have for your podcast? Well, Freeze Pop was there as well as the J-Rock band.
Nice!
That made its U.S. debut at this convention. And there was Otokage. It was amazing, but... It was amazing, but not just the concert, but the dealer's room where they had everything from figures to weapons. What I bought at this convention was the original Keyblade from Kingdom Hearts for a little price of $45. Hmm. It was awesome. Wish you could have been there. Now for a question, after all that. But I got Mass Effect for the PC and was wondering if you can repost the Mass Effect episode on iTunes. Is it not on? Oh, it's not on iTunes. And which class?
They only show like the last 10 or something.
I don't know.
We got a solution. Anyway, which class did you choose for your character and who did you make your team with? My team is Tali and Ashley, and my class is Vanguard. Well, I guess that's it, Indus. Keep up the good work and stop getting distracted by Street Fighter. Sorry for the long email. Sigma Omega.
Well, it's like only 2/3 of us. Chris is just like, yeah, I play it. I'm, you know, practicing here and there, but I'm playing other shit.
Chris is like, way the fuck off, man. No, Sigma,
that's right. I'm too busy playing Phantasy Star.
We have all of our episodes actually at our site. So just go to interactivedistractions.com and just, you know, just browse through there. So
right.
I think there's and a if you want, I can,
the topic is actually still on VG Evo, so I can bump that and
yep.
So that it'll scroll up to the top, but you should be able to find it on the forums as well.
We won't cover what classes we played or which characters here because we did that in that episode. But just go check it out. Just know that we've got all of our stuff available. And also we've been to anime and gaming conventions before. You can check out our video on Anime Week in Atlanta. So sounds like it was pretty similar. Very cool stuff.
So except for the concert, we didn't get Freeze Pop.
Yeah, we usually get. P-Lander Z or something like that. Some weird fuckers. I don't know.
I don't pay that much attention to that shit. So
yeah,
I just if Freeze Pop came, I would pay attention. But you know,
right. Anywho, oh, it's still my show, isn't it?
It is still your show.
It's still your show.
So you run out of emails.
That's right. So last email here actually is from Omri. He sent one in earlier, but this one's just kind of a general thing. He says, "Dear Indus, I wanted to know what your take on piracy is. I don't know if you know, but in Europe, in Israel, where I'm from, prices for console games cost a lot more than in the US. Would you still buy a game for around $100 US for a game that costs, you know, $60 US? I'm asking since piracy is a huge part of Europe and in New Zealand and Australia as well. So, A, would you pay that amount of money for the same game or less with, like, you know, censorship? B, would you pirate the games? Yes, you can use modded 360, just not pirate PC games. Or C, stop paying games or lower your purchase. P.S. There are almost no rentals in Europe like in the U.S. Signed, Omri.
Wow.
Yeah, we had an episode on piracy. We didn't really cover...
A little bit.
Like,
we did a bit.
This type of thing. If games were $100, I would probably just buy less.
Yeah.
Because I am totally against piracy, and that's mainly because I know what it's like to put your heart and soul into something like that. And, you know, I wouldn't want to take that away from anybody. And especially the fact that I'm also a collection whore and I like to have all my stuff. You know, I like to have, I've paid $100 for games in the past, you know, when I used to buy imports and they can get up there. So.
I fall in the same thing as Chris. Basically, I'm a collection whore, so I like to actually own the box, the book, and everything. Even though even when I had a modded PS1, I still bought the games I wanted.
Yeah,
same here.
Because I wanted them. It's also kind of relative too, because I don't understand. Like, it depends on what this. Like, I don't know what, like, in terms of wages, it is there. I don't really know if it's like. Similar, more or less, that would have a huge impact too. Like, if I was like making basically less wages and games $100, yeah, definitely lower. But if, like, say I was working a minimum wage job that was higher than normal places, but games $100, it would be easier to swallow. But I don't know.
Yeah.
it's like, that's how I judge everything. Cause like, I just remember when I was working at McDonald's, and that was like basically when I started buying my own games regularly. And it was like basically minimum wage at McDonald's. So it was all relative to how much games costed, how much minimum wage was. So
right.
How much money I was making working 4 hours, like every 2 days. But,
yeah, when I was in high school, I bought like a game every 2 or 3 months, you know?
Yeah.
Much different from now.
Yeah. That's pretty tough, man.
Yeah.
Cause I'm also the kind of guy, like, I'm terrible with money. I'm just going to put that in line right now. Like, if I'm going to look at something like, oh, it's only $20 more than a regular game, whatever. Like, yeah, I'm just going to buy it anyway. Like, I'm the guy who buys the limited collector's edition of everything, stuff. Even if I don't really want the game. Like, I'm, just, like, yeah, I'm the one who went and bought
Two Worlds Collector's Edition. Sign me up.
Yeah, exactly. Like, Puppet Shadow, just because I want to try something new, and I could have just easily went and rented that game for a week and got my enjoyment out of it, but no. Yeah. I went and bought it brand new. Like,
and you probably already traded it in.
No, I don't. I'm trying not to trade in games anymore. Oh, okay. I still have. But, oh, dude.
I feel for him. Jesus, that would be tough.
Yeah, that's $100 a game or more. That's...
Yeah.
If I lived in Israel and I had to pay $100 for games, I would move.
Yeah, I'm kidding.
So you wouldn't give up
Let's
your habit.
Let's be totally honest. I would move.
Yeah.
I would, see, that's the thing, though. It's such a... Like, if he's like us, like, if that's his hobby and, you know, it's like, it's what he likes to do, like, passion, it's... That's
got to be a little more choosy, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
Exactly.
But
at the same token, you know, real talk, it's fucking A. Keep on R-ing away if that's what you're doing. I mean, yeah, just make sure that you're putting money in the pockets of the people that really deserve it, you know?
The way I look at it is, if you're going to do something like that, something you never would buy in the first place, yeah. I really don't see the harm in it. But if you find out you really liked what you earned and appreciate it, if you're not going to buy that specific game, if that same company or the same makers put something else out later, then go ahead and purchase that game.
Because then you're just contributing to the problem, you know? I mean, the reason why the games are so much, probably. So,
right.
So exactly. I mean, I don't know.
Like, by no means, we don't condone it. Like, yeah, go ahead and go crazy. Because you're not helping anything, basically.
Be a pirate with a conscience. How about that?
Exactly. That's probably the best way to put it, Jason. That's, yeah.
Yeah.
I hear you. It's like, I used to download music. I still love buying CDs. I still do, even though I can just download stuff on iTunes or even for free if I wanted to. If I download a song that, hey, I really like that single, I download it for free, pirate it, no big deal. Maybe a couple other songs. Actually, these guys or girls aren't too bad. And I go and buy the CD.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way I look at it. So
it's easy to fall in that rut, though. It's like, oh, I can get this shit for free. Fuck it. Why buy it?
And it depends on how old you are.
Yeah, that's
it's, yeah. If you're in college and you know you're living away from home and you got to pay like your fucking like tuition, you got to pay like your dorm fees or whatever, and your meal plans, that's a totally different story because that's kind of hard to, you know. Video gaming is an expensive habit, no matter where you live. So.
Cool.
Or hobby. I shouldn't say habit.
it's kind of a habit.
Like,
yeah, it's a little of both.
Yeah.
What else we got?
That is it, sir.
I got I'm gonna make a comment of an email we actually received.
Oh shit, Jeff's drunk.
Look out.
I'm not gonna say who wrote it, because they actually said please don't read this on the air. But I just want to explain what the term dark horse means in regards to anything. That is definitely not an insult. It is actually a really big compliment. It's like saying a game is a sleeper hit. It's basically a game or something that comes along where no one really hears of, not really too high expectations, but has a shitload of potential to do some damage in whatever it is it's entering. And when someone says something is a dark horse, something is going to be a sleeper, something is like maybe even a Cinderella story, that are all ridiculous compliments, which should be taken just as that. And there's really no reading between the lines. That's basically what it means. And it's a very big compliment.
There you go.
Just want to make that clear. Because there might be a little bit of misunderstanding.
All right.
Gotcha. Cool. Thanks for clearing that up.
No problem.
All right, cool. Let's do question of the week.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Question of the week for next week, episode 73, is... What does it take for a game to have legs? We've kind of mentioned this concept in the past, like what games have legs, you know, who, like if they sell well for a long period of time, or if people are still playing them a long time from now.
Right.
So what does it take for a game to have legs and to actually get this type of attention? Good discussion.
I like this topic. I think this is going to be a good one, guys.
I think it will too. Well, you can answer the question of the week by sending an email to email@interactivedistractions.com, and you can send us a voicemail as well. That number is 818-528-GAME. That's 818-528-4263. You can also send us a voicemail to Skype. Leave a message on Skype. That's Interactive Distractions. All one word.
All lowercase.
I'm trying to catch up with myself here. You can also get us on Google Talk. That's interactivedistractions@gmail.com. If you are on iTunes, please leave us a review if you don't mind. And if you enjoyed the show, we hope you did. Tell a few friends about us. We'd appreciate it.
Also on Facebook and Twitter as well. I'm not sure, Chris, if you signed up yet.
I have not.
You can add Indus Podcast on Twitter, as well as we're going to make individual accounts. Jason and I have ours up. They're Indus Jason and Indus Jeff. And I'm sure Chris will have one up sooner than later, hopefully.
Yes.
So if you want to hear what the hell we're doing.
I might have one by the time this releases.
Exactly. So if you want to hear the ridiculousness that goes on in our lives, then check it out.
if you want to watch my Twitter, which will never get updated, go for it.
You want to hear me talk about when I'm playing Street Fighter? Go for it.
My first three tweets were about like poos and bathroom breaks at work. So
you're interested in that kind of stuff?
Add it on there.
Yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, you guys have anything before we wrap up?
Nah, dude. I am good.
Scrubs Ward. So. Yeah, Scrubs Ward. Seriously.
I actually do have one thing that I wanted to throw out there before we wrap up.
Yeah.
And it's kind of more of just a shout out because we have some awesome freaking listeners.
Oh, yeah, we do. I'm glad you touched on that.
I gotta say that I am really happy with you know some of the responses that we're getting from stuff. I this week we had like topics that popped up that said, you know, help put Indus on Zune, you know, cause apparently we're still not in the Zune marketplace for some odd reason. And, you know, people are trying to get us on that. Someone called us out, like I said, about the month in review segment. I mean, we've done one of them and our listeners know that we should have done it last week. That's
exactly
pretty fucking awesome. Today,
all the sound and shit, man, we don't mind. We really,
yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm not, and, you know, I joke around about Repeat and his new release, you know, how he takes my new releases. But, you know, I really want him to send in emails if I miss something, you know, cause he's been right several times. I mean, look at Retro Game Challenge. That was something that I kind of breezed over.
That we fucking left.
Yeah. And Jeff got it and he loves it. And now I want to go out and buy it. And you know, it's one of those things. You know, another thing is like today, we all got PMs from Jack Bauer who's from the UK, and he sent us all the iTunes reviews that we were getting over there over in the UK.
Yeah. Cause we can't see them.
You know, it's really cool to see that shit, you know? So
totally.
Well, big up to spoiler alert as well.
What's that?
Big up to spoiler alert as well. Who's, he was kind of preaching about the iTunes reviews.
Oh, how, yeah. He actually did that for the entire VG Evo network, too. And that was awesome. So, I mean, we got some really kick-ass listeners, and I just wanted to thank you guys for what you're doing because, you know, and we've said it a million times, but without you guys, we're not doing the podcast. And you guys, such a good response. And
no, we still would, just no one would be listening. That's awesome. We're still doing it.
Don't spoil it. Come on.
That's right. I'm having a heartfelt moment here,
yeah,
Jeff.
Yeah, my heart just grew three times today.
I'm sorry. Wouldn't be doing it at all.
I wouldn't be doing it, that's for sure.
Yeah, I wouldn't be either. But thank you guys. You guys are awesome, and we very much appreciate it. And, you know, seriously, do tell a few friends about us. And I know people have. And, you know, we very much appreciate that. So thank you.
There's got to be more suckers out there.
All right, cool. Well, thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Mm-hmm. So until next week, my name is Chris.
I'm Jason.
And I'm Jeff.
Play your games. We'll see you next week.